about.
I'm going to shove this lump of coal up my ass, clench my butt cheeks, and crap out a diamond for you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And now I'd like to introduce to you, DJ
90210. DJ 90210.
Right, right. So what kind of music do you want to do?
Rock, punk rock, hip hop, techno, smooth jazz, R&B, old school rap, old school punk, and old school R&B.
Cool, so everything.
Yes.
Mmm, tasty, I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
I found him extremely handsome.
Get a restraining order.
And now.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
I cannot burn the goddamn house down, but be first.
Our feature presentation.
I think that, you know what, that's not too much to ask.
Well, yeah, arson can be very stressful.
He's going to burn the house down, but he needs some pleasure first.
I hope the poor kid from Intervention, who's so sad, I hope he never has to room with Mel Gibson, because I just think that would be a miserable experience for him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I think it's unlikely that that's going to happen, but I hope it doesn't.
I think
so. All right. How about the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday? How about your phone calls next at 1-800-520-1067? We will get to you in a minute. Roberto, whatever you do, don't hang up, because I like all questions involving the human tail. So don't go away. Real quick, though, while we have time, because I know we have a very busy show today, we have to find out about Psycho Mike on Loveline last night.
Yes, we do.
Last night was the red letter day. It was the Loveline you've been looking forward to all week,
yeah.
All month, maybe all year.
Yeah, and it went better than expected, but not as great as could have been hoped.
Not as great as you'd hoped.
Yeah. I mean, the competition went down,
mm-hmm.
and I am a champion.
For you those won?
It'll take Please. 12 months for someone to take my crown.
For those of you that don't know porn as inside and out as Mike does, there's a guy named Peter North.
He's the decorator.
He's known as the decorator.
You beat the decorator?
No.
So they had a competition last night. No way. So they had a competition last night just because Mike was curious, you know.
Of course, because Mike is always curious about all things.
It was
bad.
A competition of volume.
Yes.
Let's just leave it at that.
That's all you need to say.
You know, and I brought in the scales of justice, and we all got a cup that weighed the same, so that it was very even. And we
did you have a referee with a whistle?
Well, Mr. North played judge. He was our official weigher and judge because he said, "I have to turn down your invite to compete." And he had a great line. He said, "You wouldn't ask Babe Ruth to take batting practice with Little Leaguers." And I said, "Okay, fair enough." And,
oh, so he didn't even compete?
No, he said, "I said I'm not even going to bother wasting
Seriously.
My time. I have, you know, an hour." He only got half the show. Cypress Hill came in at the second half of the show. Waste my time dealing with this. But I'm more than happy to be a part of it and judge, you know, as an expert in the field. And I said, great, no problem. And there's been too much of a buildup for someone not to compete.
Right.
So I took on the mustachioed stallion everybody knows as Gouda.
Oh, Gouda. He's a fierce competitor.
He is. He worked hard, and I got to give him credit. I'm not a guy who's...
I'm sorry. Just let me butt in. How do you work hard on this?
Well, I went 4 days without...
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny that training for this event is doing nothing.
Yeah, true.
Correct, yes.
Well, training for this event is abstaining from doing something you like to do every day,
right.
And which is what I did.
So you're saying he did pretty much the same thing. He was serious about it as well.
Yeah, and right. But I feel like I'm in better shape physically, and it really played a role for me. And even though I'm a little older, you know, Lisa May, even with modern instruments, you can't measure heart.
Oh, man.
It's true. You know, you can't measure heart.
But you can measure fluids.
And we did.
And?
Now, Dr. Drew did not shake your hand at the end of that Loveline show last night. Right?
I mean this. And we're talking to Dr. Drew later today on the Kevin and Bean show, so we'll ask him about it. But I got the feeling that he's never been more truly, genuinely disappointed in what's gone on a radio show he had something to do with.
And that's saying a lot.
For Loveline.
That's saying a lot.
I have one question. Did you go privately to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just pictured you all in the studio.
It's a good question.
No,
though,
Anderson, who's the engineer at Loveline, went in and checked out the bathroom where we all went, so there wasn't any like hidden lotions or hair conditioner that we could cheat with. And we were patted down.
It's got to be a level playing field.
Yeah, we were patted down to make sure we didn't take anything in with us.
Well,
that's how
you got started.
Legally, I had my iPhone with me, which I had loaded up with a bunch of pictures of Marissa Miller, you know, to help.
Sure.
And we all went in there.
After 4 days.
No time limit. We didn't want to rush things.
Okay. Can I ask what the actual measurement was?
No. 1.4 ounces.
All right. Well, what about him?
Gouda?
Yeah.
0.2 ounces.
No.
Oh, come on.
Okay. We can take it to the tape if you'd like.
The funny part is I date Gouda.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Listen.
You do now?
No, girls although, do not want to be washed out of the house.
But he brings up a good point. Although the male ego stroked for me.
Yes.
No pun intended. Not something that's particularly like good
in
the bedroom. Yeah.
Hang on, honey.
Yeah, no
you
kidding.
Don't want to hear that.
Hold on to something.
But it's like hair and nails, Lisa. It's a showing of good health.
Okay, then. I'm glad you're healthy.
Well, we're glad you're healthy and
you
happy.
You have glowing
congratulations,
skin.
Mike. You are the champ.
All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. It is Kevin and Bean's What to Do Next.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
An imaginary t-shirt from the Kevin and Bean Show is yours at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to give us a call right now and get on the air with any topic, Roberto gets us started on line 2. Roberto, thanks for holding on, dude. What's going on?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
All right, so I was coming home yesterday from work, and me and my coworker got an argument about when you have a sale, you can lag it. And I know Stryker, I know you guys have experience with this because Stryker has a tail, but I don't know if he's ever wagged it for you guys.
Well, you know, to be honest, we've never asked him to wag it for us.
I don't think it's a true wag. I think someone said, called him before and said if they wiggle their back like a certain way, you know, it wiggles down there.
Yeah, I think, Roberto, having no information, I think I would guess like you did, which is that it doesn't happen.
Well, we need to have our callers call in and clarify this because we've been in a heated argument about this.
I wonder though if it depends on where the tail is and how much of a tail you have. And I mean, I saw that one video that I think was generally believed to be fake. That porn video with the girl with the tail,
right?
And she definitely was wagging it.
Right.
It wasn't her back at all. I mean, she's definitely wagging it. But of course, if it's fake, it's just CGI. But I don't know. I'd love to do some research on that and find out for you because I'm obsessed with the human tail and I'd give anything. I'd give up an arm to have a tail.
We can make that happen. By the way, Psycho Mike gets so grossed out by this topic that he's about to throw up in the back of the room. All right. Thank you for the call.
Great question though, Roberto. We will definitely research it for you. Thank you. Let's try Rodney, line 4, calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right.
Hey Rodney, what it do?
What it do, nephew? What's looky here. I took my kids fishing this weekend, and sitting on the boat, my kid's daughter sitting next to me. She goes to cast, hooks me in the face.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. The hook caught you in the face, and then she tried to throw her bait out into the ocean or wherever, and your face went?
Well, she didn't try to throw me out there because I screamed, God damn it!
Yeah. Oh, dude.
And then all the fishermen on the lake said, are you all right? I said, I got hooked in the face!
Wow. Did she reel you in and then fillet you?
No, she did not.
Did you need stitches?
No, you know, it wasn't that bad. I got hooked in the cheek, thank God, you know, a couple of inches away from my eyeball.
Yeah, that would be bad.
It didn't go through?
No, that was the other thing, because when I got in, after I, you know, took about 30 minutes getting the boat into shore, I go in and talk to the guy. He goes, well, we got some dikes in the back. I mean, you know, the tool, not the
right.
Payment. And then they said, well, we could pull it out. And they looked at it and go, oh, that's like really stuck in the meat. It's not even coming out. Yeah, you're going to have to go into the hospital.
Dude.
Excellent.
How about that? How old's your little girl?
10, and she tried to give me all of her money she's been saving for a while because she felt so bad.
I hope you took it. She needs to be taught a lesson early. Right?
For like half a second, I wanted to. No.
The reason I asked how old she is because at a certain age, it's really funny to them more than tragic to them. I mean, was there any kind of glee or excitement or joy from her?
None of my kids were happy.
No, really? Okay.
Oh, please. No, if I was one of the other kids, I would think it was the funniest thing ever. But if I'm the one that did it to my parent, I would feel terrible until I found out he was okay, and then I would laugh uncontrollably.
That's awesome. All right, that says something about you as a father, that your own daughter tried to kill you, Rodney, but thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
And one more. Let's go to Joey. Joey, good morning. What's going on?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do,
nephew?
What it do?
I just wanted to bring up a suggestion. You guys haven't been doing a Motorboat Miss Cleo in such a long time. I think you need to bring that back.
That's true. It really does seem like...
The last time we did that was right before vacation, right?
It seems like it was 6 months ago.
I mean, exactly.
I'm with Joey. It's been too long, and it needs to happen.
It's a tremendous game. And I know that we're going to be giving away tickets to Epicenter 2010, I think, next week. So maybe we can figure out a way to bring back Motorboat Miss Cleo, because I do enjoy it as well.
Maybe a little suggestion. Maybe you could combine that with Lick Lisa at the same time.
All right, let's not get greedy. Thank you for the call, though. Some good ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We do need to keep that alive. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're a pain in the ass! You're a pain in my ass!
That's nuts.
Stop being that!
Good advice, Mel. Thank you.
Speaking of Loveline last night, we do have Dr. Drew. We talk to him every Thursday. So we're going to get his perspective of just exactly how depressed he was. And does he need a career change? And is Mike the one to finally drive him out of that show?
Yeah.
I think the search has got to be on for a new co-host by now.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
Was Mel Gibson set up? And if so, does it matter? Was she doing this
egging him on
to push his buttons on purpose?
Because they have a child custody hearing today.
And if so, does that matter to you? That's the question that we will ask a little bit later on this morning. Kendra Wilkinson will be on the program.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Talk to her about her time, I don't know, at the Playboy Mansion. And one story in particular that we've heard about the Playboy Mansion that is the best story ever.
And by the best, you mean the grimmest, the saddest.
I think it's awesome.
Help me, Mike.
Yeah.
It's awesome?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think you're talking about the
one where
Where the girls are forced to ride the bull for 30 seconds.
There's no force.
Well, she felt like she had to go along with the crowd. It wasn't something she was looking forward to, jumping on an 80-year-old.
The grimmest story ever from her perspective. The awesomest story ever from his perspective.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
So anyway, we'll get to that today. We also have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We have Psycho Body. And we have a listener that's going to tell us that Kim Kardashian is just hideous. What are you people thinking?
Really?
How can anyone find her attractive?
Huh.
So we're going to talk to him coming up in the next hour.
We have a lot of blind listeners, though, by the way. That didn't surprise me.
We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Dude, they should use that for, like, the World Cup or something. You know, that'd be cool. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 5:52.
I missed that noise from the World Cup.
You missed the World Cup Vuvuzela?
Yes.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Speaking of that awful song from the World Cup, and speaking of the Vuvuzela, last night was the ESPY Awards. We got highlights coming up after the top of the hour, and they had Will Ferrell come out and play Jeff Vuvuzela, the inventor of the Vuvuzela.
That's funny.
And you'll learn a little bit about the history of the world's most annoying sound and how it came to be. But highlights of the show last night, including a very funny hosting performance from Seth Meyers, by the way, who I just think is terrific. But anyway, that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
Congratulations to Craig Ferguson and his wife, Megan. They are expecting a baby. Craig tweeted the news yesterday morning. Here's the following tweet that Craig released into the Twitterverse. Holy crackers! Mrs. F is pregnant. How did that happen? Oh, yeah, I know how. Another Ferguson arrives in 2011. The world trembles.
So congratulations to those guys.
Holy cracker?
Holy crackers.
Huh.
That's a funny phrase.
Mm-hmm. I love that dude. Don't you, Craig Ferguson?
Yeah, he's the best.
I enjoy
so funny
work enormously. Bret Michaels is now denying a report that some people reported yesterday that he's engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Christy Lynn Gibson.
Hey, you said that.
Nope.
You said that at
incorrect.
All five
wrong,
showbizes.
Sir. Wrong.
You said that at 5:50, 6:50, 7:50, 8:50, and 9:50.
Liar. Yeah, I did. He cleared things up on CBS's early show yesterday, saying, no, we are not engaged yet. We're a work in progress. The ring Christy Lynn is wearing is a promise ring, a friendship ring with benefits. That's what we call it.
Excuse me, if you're together with a guy for 16 years and then he gives you a promise ring, Lisa, that's an F you, right?
Totally. Well, hasn't he been riding a bus with strippers for the last 3 years?
How dare you?
It was a TV show.
Yeah.
You know what this means? Brett's feeling better. That's what this means.
Yeah, true.
Not so scared about dying anymore. Marry me. Well, just friendship,
you know,
really.
What? Let's not
I'm thinking
rush.
I got a couple years left in me.
Let's not rush into it.
All of a sudden, Poison selling tickets again because I had a blowout in my brain. So let's hold off.
And I'll get a lot of sympathy sex on the road.
Yeah. Speaking of sympathy sex, I wasn't even going to bring this up because it's not showbiz. But I had to laugh yesterday when I heard Bristol Palin and Levi Johnston talking about their engagement.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that story.
Yeah, they're engaged again.
Oh, great.
Kevin. They're telling Us Weekly that they plan to marry in the next 6 months. Now, here's the reason I bring it up in showbiz news. Because there is a rumor circulating as of yesterday that there is a reality TV show deal in the works regarding their engagement and then following marriage.
That would make sense.
Why else would anyone get married anymore unless you could make a TV deal out of it, right?
Especially to Bristol Palin.
Yeah, she's, well, they're both.
Neither of them is a prize.
Maybe they're perfect for each
they're
other.
They're not members of the Winter Club, either of them. It's funny what guys will bond over. Psycho Mike can bond over bodily fluids with his pals.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Romo and Ryan Cabrera apparently are the new best friends forever. Here's what the two of them have in common. Tony, of course, famously dated Jessica Simpson. Ryan Cabrera famously dated Ashley Simpson back in the day.
Oh.
So they can get together and have a couple beers and just laugh and laugh at the Simpson sisters, which would be awesome. They were seen together in a bar, according to the New York Post, buying shots to all the pretty girls in the bar together.
All right.
Can you imagine that conversation? Oh, Jessica cannot sing. She's horrible. I know, but did you see Ashley on Melrose Place? She's the worst actress ever. I know. Another shot? Yeah. Okay, Ryan.
They've got to feel like plane crash survivors. Like they're so lucky to have walked away from that.
Yes.
Stared death in the face and came away from it.
John Stamos is headed to federal court.
What? Oh, this is juicy.
Got to testify against Alison Krauss, this freaking whore.
Who is she?
She attempted to blackmail John Stamos, Lisa. First of all, which is unacceptable. Because he is one of the most handsome men on television.
So that's why it's unacceptable? Why it's not because it's against the law?
Nope.
All right.
Apparently, he met Allison right after his split with then-wife Rebecca Romijn.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in a nightclub in Orlando, Florida back in 2004. Allison claims that John took her back to his room. And here's the thing. John says that's true. Allison claimed to be on college spring break when they met. She was just 17 at the time, however. Now, here's the thing. Allison says there were two strippers and cocaine at the party back in his hotel room. She did spend the night, but she didn't do anything sexual. However, she has some incriminating photographs, and she contacted John demanding $680,000 or else she was going to release the pictures to the tabloids.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And he went to the police?
And that's legal?
And he went to the FBI.
Good for him.
And said,
wait, he went where?
The FBI!
He went to the authorities. And said, F this bitch. First of all, I didn't get any that night.
Right.
From her.
And he'd already split up with Rebecca Romijn.
Right, so we can
good
do the damage
him.
There. So there was a sting operation, and they nailed this bitch.
Sting was in the room?
Old Gilligan. So he's got to go to court to testify against her.
Awesome.
Yeah. I bet she didn't expect, she didn't see that coming, by the way, that he was going to end up going after her.
Easy money, right? That's what she thought. Easy money.
Yeah.
$680,000. Like, who asks for that number?
That is a weird number.
What's wrong with $700,000?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much tail John Stamos gets?
Oh, my
no,
God.
Can you just even imagine it?
Just all?
No.
I mean, not only a phenomenally good-looking guy, but a super famous celebrity for a long, long time, and by all accounts, just charming and delightful and just really, really a nice, funny
Dean
guy.
He has a crush.
I'm just saying. You
Dean
just look at a guy like Stamos. That, you go, I can't even imagine.
Dean and Stamos sitting in trees. And he was the drummer for the Beach Boys.
That's
come
right.
Come on.
He's got that.
Come on.
There's that as well.
Bermuda, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you.
That's all he has to say.
That's right.
They light up for
Let's
it.
Let's go to Kokomo. And tragic news today. This coming out of Six Flags Amusement Park in Illinois. Apparently two men were ejected and then arrested from the theme park after they beat Porky Pig up.
Oh.
Yeah, that ain't right.
Did Porky do something to deserve it?
No. Huh. Porky's just walking along, minding his own business.
Nicely done.
And out jumps Taras Siltkovchuk and Dmytro Petrochenko.
Russian spies?
Yes. We're trying to get the secret recipe for bacon from him. Anyway, they jumped him, beat him. They were ejected from the park, and the cops were waiting for them, so they would be brought up on charges of a battery and assault in Chicago this week. So I hope they throw the book at those guys. Porky, however, is apparently feeling just swell.
I've had a lot of call to do your Porky Pig in a while.
No, I don't think I've ever had a call to do Porky Pig before. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Terry Quinn. You may know him best as John Locke from the Island of Lost. 58 years old today. Actor Willie Ames. Eight is Enough, Charles in Charge. And let's not forget, Bible Man. My favorite of all his roles.
That's right. Sure. Will he be down at Comic-Con next week, Bible Man?
I don't believe so. Although I just got some confirmation that Angelina Jolie will be at Comic-Con.
All right, next weekend. That's what I'm talking about.
That's all you have to know, really, is... Brigitte Nielsen.
Yeah.
Speaking of comic books, she was Red Sonja in the movies. Married famously to Sylvester Stallone. She's 47 years old today. Forrest Whitaker is 49 years old. Don't bring up the eye. Actress Diane Kruger is 34.
Oh.
Mr. Megan Fox, Brian Austin Green, is 37 years old today. And you know who turns 36 years old today? And I miss him so much.
Pretty broad question.
You won't recognize the name, probably.
All right.
But you'll remember him when I explain to you who he was.
Okay.
The man's name is Evan Marriott.
Oh, yeah.
Probably better known to you as Joe Millionaire. Remember,
come on.
Do you remember the reality show Joe Millionaire?
Is he like Red?
He was the idiot construction worker they tried to pass off as a millionaire to a bunch of broads in a bachelor-type setting on that TV show. And they famously tried to teach him what wines went with what kinds of meals.
It was unbelievable.
And the butler's like, so what kind of wine goes with fish? Red. My favorite answer of all time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thursday means Dr. Drew on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, a special summer Get Your Body in Shape edition of the Psycho Body coming up. And former playmate Kendra Wilkinson joining us later today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Last night were the ESPYs, by the way, which I was surprised to find out on ESPN is the 18th year in a row they've had the ESPYs. Doesn't seem to me like it goes back that far. But I guess it just gets bigger every year, and it's just been on my radar for fewer. But other award shows should take a note from the ESPYs because they really do a great job with that show and moving it along. And tons of stars. The only thing I'll say about it is the categories are so weird because, you know, you'll have a category for best team, for instance.
Right.
And you've got, the New Orleans Saints over here competing against the Alabama Crimson Tide, competing against the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, what kind of category is that? It's weird.
It's an impossible choice. You can't.
Yeah.
How do you choose? Yeah.
But all the stars were there last night. Lots of film, TV stars, sports stars, of course. And Seth Meyers was the host from Saturday Night Live. He does the Weekend Update from Saturday Night Live. He had a very funny monologue. I got a couple of lines from last night. ESPYs for you.
The ESPYs are live tonight, and I just want to take a minute to explain what that means. That means if at any point someone should use inappropriate language, people watching at home would hear it. Sean White. I am talking to you. Sean, as you may remember, was caught on camera at the Olympics cursing, but to be fair to Sean, NBC should have known that was a possibility based on Sean's sport, outfit, face, and everything he had ever done up to that moment.
Sean was there, won a bunch of awards last night. It was very, very funny. More from Seth Meyers.
But it is great to be here at the ESPYs in Los Angeles. This is where sports and entertainment come together. It's like a Kardashian sister's bedroom.
He did not. And one more, Tiger Woods was fair game for everybody because he wasn't there last night because he's playing golf today in England.
But in all seriousness, Tiger's had a difficult year, but he's back. And he's getting ready for the British Open tomorrow. So everyone, give it up for Tiger Woods, if you haven't already.
See, Lisa, because lots of women have had sex with Tiger Woods.
I get that,
So they talked a lot about LeBron James. That was kind of a running theme of the night. He wasn't there at the show.
Were they mocking him?
They were mocking the decision.
Yeah.
They were mocking the special.
Good.
And one of the tape pieces that they went to was so funny. It's Paul Rudd, who's playing the interviewer in the high school gym, just like with the LeBron James interview.
Right.
And Steve Carell is playing the LeBron James part, and he is there to make a very important announcement. And they really did a great job of parodying kind of what it sounded like when we watched LeBron last week. Here's some of that.
How hard was it to make this decision?
In some ways, it was incredibly hard. In other ways, it was just very hard.
And who have you already told about your decision?
Everybody.
Who haven't?
Just you.
I'm the only person on Earth you haven't told.
Yes.
Did you tell Vice President Joe Biden?
I just got off the phone with him.
What about Lil Wayne?
He's the first person that I told.
What about Tito Ortiz?
I don't know who that is.
He's an extreme fighter. He's got a shaved head, wrestled at Cal State Bakersfield.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I told him.
So I'm going to be the last person you tell.
Not necessarily. I might not tell you.
Well, went on like that for a while. And by the way, his the big decision that he was there to announce is he was deciding to not go to Chili's for dinner that night. He was going to go to Outback Steakhouse. So that's what
was he wearing a headband like LeBron does?
No, he wasn't, because it was more like the interview. So he was wearing a suit and everything like LeBron. Andy said, by the way, it was a Saturday Night Live reunion last night. Will Ferrell was there. Tracy Morgan was there. Jason Sudeikis. Andy Samberg comes out for this bit. He came out in a giant octopus suit, and he was playing Paul, the psychic octopus from the World Cup.
Right.
And was asked by Seth Meyers to make a prediction.
So this is the ESPYs, Paul, and it's a sports show. Do you have any predictions that actually involve sports?
Yes, I do. Thanks for asking, Seth. Next year, I, Paul the Octopus, predict LeBron James will return to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No.
No?
No.
No? Okay, then I predict he will go to the Bulls.
No.
The L.A. Lakers.
No.
The L.A. Raiders.
No.
LeBron James will go back to high school.
What?
He's going to switch bodies with Dakota Fanning.
Why would he do that? He's, look, he's going to Miami.
He's going to Miami. Yes! 9 for 9!
No.
I am a god!
Andy Samberg, always so funny. Tracy Morgan, of course, also from Saturday Night Live back in the day. He came out and he was presenting an award, and he was very depressed because he just found out last night that he did not get the role of Nelson Mandela in the Invictus movie, which, by the way, was filmed 2 years ago and is already out on DVD, but he just found out last night. And he was very sad because he had worked hard on it, and he actually brought in his audition tape of him trying to be Nelson Mandela. This was the movie about the South African rugby, remember, with Matt Damon. So here's a little bit of his audition tape trying to be the great Nelson Mandela.
Thanks for coming in, Tracy. Have you read the script?
I have not.
Are you familiar with the story?
No. I'm just going to go off the top of my head, all right?
Invictus audition, take one, Mark.
Look, Jason Bourne, my name is Nelson Mandela, and I did not break out of jail to hang out with a bunch of losers.
By the way, is Tracy Morgan hilarious every time he opens his mouth?
Yeah, I love
he
him.
Is.
Always funny, right?
I love
it's
him.
Crazy.
What this country needs is less apartheid and more together-tide. One time, Housing Authority tried to evict me because I was making homemade Jerry Curl juice in my bathtub. Also, I had a leopard.
Mark.
Oh, this is a sports movie? I love sports movies. I got this. Rudy! 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 Rugby team, gather around. If the plane crashes, you have to promise to eat me first. Start with my head. That way you'll know what I know. I give my knowledge to you. Go ahead. Take a bite. Eat me.
I don't know that it works that way. The eating guy is brave. And one more for right now. I mentioned that Will Ferrell came out. He, again, talking about the World Cup just completed. He plays Jeff Vuvuzela, who is the guy who invented the Vuvuzela that has made his name a household word. And here he explains how that came to be.
Okay. All right. That. All right. Jeff, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, Seth.
Oh, wow. Jeff, is that the way you always sound?
Yes. Kids used to make fun of my voice all the time growing up, Seth, but who's laughing now? For the last month, an entire country was blowing Vuvuzela. Ha!
So it went on like that for a while, but a very, very entertaining show. And if you get a chance to catch the replay, Brooklyn Decker is all I have to say. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit model was there in just an astonishing dress.
She's,
like, you can't figure out how it stayed up.
She's something. So if you don't care about sports even.
Yes, just two days. I think she came out with John Hamm to present one of the last couple of awards. So you really only have to make sure to watch like the last 10 minutes of the show, and it'll be worth your time. But well done. Well done, ESPN. I will say that you might not guess, Lisa, that I do have sympathy for women and what you guys go through.
Not based on,
I do.
You know, anything you've
I
ever
do.
Said.
Because when
ever.
I read, like, Garrett's email, for instance, and I think about how most women must look at Kim Kardashian and go, wow, must be nice to be her,
yeah.
Wow. And then a guy like Garrett comes along who thinks she's dog food. I think, what must that do for the those of you who aren't Kim Kardashian? It must be really tough to see somebody like her trashed, right?
She's all around yuck.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing, too, is that guys have no problem. Guys who are on the scale of 1 to 10 that are like 2s or 3s have no problems tearing down women that are 9s, 10s. Oh, she's not a... No, she's got fat hips. Yeah. And, you know, and in the real world, those girls would never even look at those guys. Yeah. But the guys have no problems.
The eyelashes on her left eye aren't right. even as long as the eyelashes on her right eye.
Look, it's like...
meanwhile,
it's
you're Quasimodo.
It's like the people who mock Megan Fox because of that one thumb. I mean, look. I mean, how much do you have to tear somebody down who's beautiful? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we got this email from Garrett, who wrote to us, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Garrett, how are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi,
great,
Garrett.
Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it because you know this is going to be rough for you. But here's your email, and you can see this along with the photo evidence that Garrett sent in at kevinandbean.com if you want to play along the home game. Kevin, Bean, Ralph, this chick is ugly is how you start. Yeah. No reservations about assigning the word ugly to Kim Kardashian, right, Garrett?
Not at all.
Okay, she has cake makeup, a jello jiggler in her pants, uneven legs, thin calves, fat thighs, and is all around yuck. Why do so many people like her and think she is so hot? Even you fine gentlemen have said she is attractive. I think I just puked in my mouth, Garrett.
All right, listen. There are different levels. There is the hottest woman in the world. That's where you get super, super picky because there can only be one. So now they have to compete the imperfections. This is ridiculous. Yuck. I mean,
yeah, come on.
Really, Garrett,
this
really.
This chick is ugly.
You don't
statement.
Find her ugly? I mean, you don't find her, let's just say, average?
Guys, here's the thing. It's these pictures. These pictures are the proof in the pudding.
Now, here's the thing. These pictures are the anomaly. Because they're not great pictures of her, but every other picture of her you see on the internet, she looks smoking hot.
You're right. And professional modeling pictures with professional hair, makeup stylist, a duct tape guy that pulls your fat back and tightens it up, those pictures look great. Absolutely. But real life, candid shots, which are these pictures that are on the website now, no. She's ugly.
Okay, I'm going to only disagree with you, Garrett, in that there are few women in the world who are photographed more in candid situations than Kim Kardashian because she's such a tabloid favorite right now. There's paparazzi every single time she leaves her house. We see pictures of her every week going to the grocery store. Well, not that she does her own shopping, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
You know, just walking out on the street, and she's not – that's not a professional photo situation, and she still looks amazing.
And I've seen her in pictures where she wasn't wearing makeup. It's rare, but there have been a couple out there, and she's a pretty girl.
I've seen her pictures. In a bikini by the pool. That's yeah. what matters.
That's true, too.
In the eye of the beholder, when I look at these pictures, I don't think so. Another thing is if you take Kim Kardashian's celebrity status away from her, you don't have much. Granted, she makes a ton of money. She's good at what she does. But her attractiveness...
No. No. She's not famous. She doesn't have a TV show. I don't know who she is. She's walking down the street. I do a double and triple take.
She's famous partly because she's so hot. That's what actually gave her celebrity.
I find her attractive in spite of her horrible TV show and her fame for nothingness.
Yeah, I think she's catching up to Chloe. I don't know.
Oh, how dare you.
And I, even though I wouldn't want to go after Reggie Bush, I'm tempted when I see her. That's how hot she is. Ralph, what was your... I know you gave this some serious thought when you received Garrett's email. What was your well-reasoned reply back to him?
Well, I said we're always happy to talk to our gay listeners, and it's always a pleasure to touch base with them. And if he liked women, then he too would find her attractive.
But even gay men can look at a hot woman and go, she's hot.
She is fierce. That's right.
Okay, fierce. Yeah, they use fierce. A different word, but that's what they mean. So, but here's my point, Garrett. My point is, you know, some of us think she's a 10. Some of us think she's a 9. You might think she's a 6 or 7. You go 5 or below, then you're just being an idiot. I mean, really, you can't. There's no way the scale moves that much for her.
If I saw Kim on the street in her State Puff marshmallow white jumpsuit, I would think she's average. She's a 5 or a 6, 100%. You're right. Brooklyn Decker. Amazing. You talked about her a few minutes ago.
Super hot, yeah.
Amazing woman. People put Kim Kardashian in that category, and she's not. Look at her.
Well, I don't know anybody who compares those two. That's apples and oranges.
He's right. Look at her. He's got a point.
That is an excellent. It's a great suggestion.
She
I'll tell
is
you
an
that.
Attractive yeah. woman.
I don't know. I mean, Ralph, I do have to compliment you. Your wit is amazing. You're calling me gay. Bring me into it. Perfect.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
But...
You have no other way.
All right, Garrett, let me ask you this question. Who do you think is a 10?
Brooklyn Decker, Megan Fox. There's a list. So open up a Victoria's Secret magazine.
Those Any of them. Okay.
Okay, let me. We're almost out of time here, Garrett. You're very manly to agree to come on, as I said when we started this conversation, because you know that you're wrong and you know that you're going to get beat up. If you admit to us that Kim Kardashian is a 5 or a 6, which I think you did a moment ago, then you can't say she's ugly. 5 or a 6 is not an ugly girl.
Let's put pictures of her up against pictures of Susan Boyle. And then tell me what's ugly.
I mean, she can't. You can't say this chick is ugly and call her all about yuck if she's even by your estimation a 5 or a 6.
Granted, my overall package of Kim Kardashian is a 5 or a 6. These Stay Puft marshmallow pictures are ugly to me.
And these photos, again, you can see them at KevinAmin.com. The ones that Garrett sent along is her at some sort of a NASCAR event or something like that.
Yeah, she's wearing a Lycra jumpsuit, which isn't all that attractive on anyone.
Which include white pants, by the way.
Ew.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It's not flattering. Maybe you're not an ass man, too. Is that part of it? Is that her butt looks pretty big in these photos? Oh. Is that part of what's coming on with you, Garrett?
It is pretty big, yeah. And I've had this conversation with a few other guys. And you're right. Ass men love these pictures. Maybe I'm not. I like the combo.
But right. So do the rest.
She resembles a camel in these pictures. Not only her body, but her ass. 2 humps. Huge. She stores her water. I don't know what else to say.
Oh, good.
I had to comment Garrett on his wit, too, because the subject line of his email was, if you think Kim Kardashian is hot, you're retarded.
And the best part, retarded spelled wrong, too, yes, which I always enjoy.
Yeah. I think that's
awesome. Did you spell retarded wrong on accident?
Two T's.
Oh, I love being belittled. It's great. Thanks.
Did you or did you not spell it?
No,
accident.
He didn't spell it on accident.
Oh, you're the best.
Me? He didn't call her Brooklyn Decker on accident either. That's just what he thinks her name is. All right, Garrett, we appreciate you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm glad you emailed us, and
you're
again,
wrong.
you can see Garrett's email and the photos that he sent and the photos that Ralph sent back when he called you gay. You can see all of that at KevinandBean.com. Have a great day, dude.
Love it, guys.
Thanks. Bye, Garrett.
106.7 K Rock is K R O Q, and it is 6:39.
Jared Leto hanging out with too many little kids for my taste on that song. I'm always uncomfortable when I hear that 30 seconds to Mars. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. How about Kendra Wilkinson on the show today? How about Dr. Drew? We got the psycho body. And did that bitch just set up Mel Gibson? Did she plan this whole thing just for a big payday? Did she push his buttons? We'll discuss coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We have the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO, and you can leave a message 24 hours a day. We play back messages a lot. Omar is the poor, unfortunate soul that has to go through them.
Mm. Yeah.
What percentage of them, Omar, would you say are usable versus not usable?
1% are probably funny. 99% are bad.
You have to delete?
Oh, yeah.
What do most people call about that we would never know because we only hear the good ones?
A lot of Bean is gay. There's a lot of that.
Yeah. We've actually had to put in a filter of just like, we can't do that every day.
Yeah.
So we'll just do that every once in a while.
There's a lot of Kevin Bean, you guys suck. A lot of hate.
Sure.
You
know? Sure.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Our listeners like to vent on the Apple line for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. And mostly fills up with that.
When did this next guy come across the radar screen?
This guy's been calling for over a month.
Over a month.
Calls in with the same thing, and I was just like, that's not that funny, you know? So 2 weeks go by, and then I start laughing.
Now he's calling once a day for 2 weeks, so Monday through Friday.
Right.
He's on a mission.
He always calls between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Okay.
That's so funny.
He leaves the message. Omar hears it and deletes it. Okay. Tuesday, Omar hears it and deletes it. Okay. Wednesday, hears it, deletes it. Thursday, all the way through the second week. And then Omar goes, I don't know. It's starting to come around now.
Yeah, totally, man.
Maybe it's the commitment.
Just getting funnier. Yeah, totally.
Maybe it's the commitment that he shows to the bit because he's getting no response. You don't email him back or call him. Nothing.
One of his calls never aired. He just does it.
Just keeps going.
Keeps going and going.
Okay, now I haven't heard this yet, so I'm excited to find out what it is that's so important to him that he calls every single day. This has got to be good.
You guys smell like horse. With a side of shut up, Bean. You guys smell like the Armenian comedian's upper lip. You guys smell like Omar's wiener wrinkles.
Now,
whoa.
Now, so that's the format, Bean. Is that you guys smell
like?
And can you just set that up real quick so the affiliates can hear the tape as well, so everybody can enjoy it.
Yes. Hang on 1 second. So the guy calls every day, but that's the funny part is that he doesn't call back 5, 6, 7 times in a day. Only once.
Once a day.
Only one time.
So all day long, he thinks about what his new thing is going to be.
It's always different, too.
And then it's just one. He doesn't go, oh, that last one wasn't very good. I better call back and up it. No, it's just one. He has one. That's it. That's all he has time for.
And it's just so weird that his mission is that Kevin Amin smell like. I mean, like, where does that come from?
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
All right, let me start from the beginning again so everybody can hear. I think we got the problem.
He guys smell like horse with a side of shut up, Bean. You guys smell like the Armenian comedian's upper lip. You guys smell like Omar's wiener wrinkles. You guys smell like a cup of lemonade with doo-doo in it.
All right. No. So this is
why?
Again.
Yeah, that's funny.
Again, right? This is one a day. So then Omar started, like, for the last how long now? 2 weeks?
That's about 3 weeks. Yeah.
Just taking them and just, you know, putting them to the side and holding on to them. Because now you got to admire the guy's stick-to-itiveness, you know? The guy's really driven.
I don't know if Kevin Bean is going to find it's funny, but I thought it was hilarious.
So then he goes on the next day.
You guys smell like sweet apple pie with doo-doo in it. You guys smell like chocolate cake with doo-doo on it. You guys smell like sweet chocolate strawberries with doo-doo on it.
So, and what's with the accent? What character is he creating here just to deliver this insult?
I don't know, but
it's
this...
It's someone who works here. That's why he's disguised.
Could be.
There you go. Mr. Weatherby.
He probably is. He's probably our boss. Yeah, but that's the weird thing, Bean, is that he's getting no feedback, but he just keeps coming strong with it.
You guys smell like Armenian ass hair on a chocolate sundae. You guys smell like smoke. Barbecue ribs with doo-doo on it.
Nice pause. Nice emphasis.
Right. Now his delivery is getting a little bit better.
He's got his timing on.
Yeah. Working it out.
You guys smell like Osama bin Laden's stinky pubes. Aww. You guys smell like the skin marks on the King of Mexico's dirty underwear. You guys smell like Jell-O pudding pop with doo-doo on them.
And every time I get sucked in going, well, Jell-O pudding pops, that doesn't sound good. Oh, with doo-doo on it,
that would probably smell good. Oh, no.
You guys smell like mint chip ice cream with doo-doo in it. You guys smell like caramel apples with doo-doo on them. You guys smell like strawberry smoothies with doo-doo in it.
Okay. So there's that guy. So we've got that guy.
What's happening now?
You got to give it up for the commitment. Yeah. I mean, the dedication. I don't know if he writes them out. But he always calls the same time of the day.
Yeah. So he's clearly keeping
track. Actually,
he
called this morning. I didn't have time to include it in the file, but there's a new one.
Wow.
There's a new batch coming.
Wow. I don't need a new batch of that. I'll
tell you. With doo-doo on it.
323-520-AFRO. You can leave a message 24 hours.
Ralph Garman joins us in studio now for another look at the show Biz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
5 days and counting until Lindsay Lohan has to turn herself in. Meanwhile, friends say she is diving into self-help books.
Okay.
Just now?
Yeah. Trying to, you know, get some tips on how to deal with the stress. She's also looking for a new lawyer, by the way.
Another one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Word is, though, she's having a problem finding a new lawyer because every time she meets with him, she doesn't believe anyone who takes her case should charge a fee.
She wants it free.
Yes, because she thinks they'll be able to collect on the back end by writing a book or something about that. So,
oh my God,
is that a case?
It's worth it just to be her lawyer because of all the cachet.
You get your name out there,
right? That's what she's saying. Do you think that's true? Or do you think really maybe she just doesn't have any money?
That's true too.
I think whatever money she does have, she doesn't want to spend it on a lawyer.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, all the friends and coworkers Lindsay's had in the past 2 years, just like one dude. Is distancing himself from Ms. Lohan. The next film, the only film that I know that she has coming out soon, is Machete.
Yeah!
Right.
Which will be released on September the 3rd.
Looks great.
It does look great. However, the trailer, you may notice, has been released without any images of her appearing in it.
Really?
Her name appears in the credits, but they don't have any footage of her in the trailer that was just...
They called him Machete.
But if you do go to the film's website... And flip through the photographs, you do see an ad for her. It says Lindsay Lohan as the sister. That's the name of the character she plays in the film. It is Lindsay dressed in a complete nun's habit, and she is licking the tip of a giant 357 Magnum as if the gun was more than just a symbol.
Love it.
Love it.
I'm in.
The movie's released on September the 3rd and reportedly contains a topless scene with Lindsay swimming in a waterfall with an actress named Alicia Marik, who plays her mother.
Wow.
So you got that going for you.
He was given an offer he couldn't refuse.
Hope they let her out for the premiere. Be good stuff.
He knows the score.
All right, we get it.
He
Machete,
gets
yeah.
the women.
Yeah,
and he kills
right.
the bad guys.
Machete, we got it. Machete. That's all
I might be over-explaining the concept.
I love it so much, though.
He's got a knife.
Speaking of nudity.
Machete.
Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah.
Is going to have to water ski naked.
What just happened?
Through the waters of Miami.
Because
he lost a World Cup soccer bet.
Oh,
oh wow.
That's awesome.
He was interviewed by the BBC at one point on June the 23rd and was talking about Spain because he is of Spanish descent.
Right.
He's talking about the Spain team, and they had already lost a game at this point and were in danger of not progressing.
Right.
And he said, if Spain wins the World Cup, I'm going to get drunk and ski naked in Biscayne Bay. Well, as you all know by now.
They did.
Who am I kidding? You don't know because no one cares about the World Cup. But Spain won. So now Enrique says a bet's a bet. And he is going to take off his kit and get down there on the water skis and ski nude in Biscayne Bay. Naturally, he's not saying when he'll be doing it. But it will be done and documented. So, Bean, you should get down there and just start looking. Just start, you know, keep your eyes peeled. Get your binoculars out.
Speaking of Enrique Iglesias, I know you watched that Jonathan Ross show on the BBC America.
No,
that
I watch.
Talk show?
I watch
Graham Norton.
Graham Norton.
Graham Norton. That's the one. That's the one I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm sorry. He had Anna Kournikova, Enrique Iglesias' wife slash girlfriend,
yeah.
depending on what.
Katy Perry too.
And Katy Perry on the same show.
Wow, yeah.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It was a great show.
Wow,
it was just it was too much. I had to watch the. It took me like 6 hours to get through it. It was so good. And that Anna Kournikova, I don't know that she's ever looked better than she does right now.
And very charming.
Yeah, delightful.
Charming, funny. Great interview. That show is great. Remember we were talking about who's going to be the new Hulk?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
To which Bean wondered if they would take 6 months off so they could somehow get to be 8 feet tall and 1,200 pounds.
They could bulk
exactly.
up.
In
bulk
the 6 months and then go back and shoot as the Hulk.
Right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Bruce Banner, the secret identity of the Hulk, the man who turns into the Hulk when he gets angry, apparently that role that has been vacated by Edward Norton has been taken over by a new actor. A word has it that Mark Ruffalo is in negotiations currently with Marvel to play that role in the upcoming Avengers movie.
He's a great actor.
He's a great actor. I think he did a good job. So we got that going for us.
All right.
Which is nice. Today's celebrity birthdays. Terry O'Quinn from Lost is 58 years old today. Willie Ames.
Yeah!
From Eight is Enough. Charles in Charge. Bible Man. He is 50 years old today. You ever see him on Celebrity Fit Club? Oh, boy's got some issues.
No.
Boy's got some problems. Boy's got some tats.
Yeah.
More importantly.
Mm-hmm.
Forest Whitaker's 49 years old today. Brigitte Nielsen celebrates her 47th birthday. Maybe my favorite Surreal Life ever.
Yeah, she was
good times.
Now, who did she sleep with?
Was Flavor Flav?
Yeah.
Wasn't Vern Troyer
Flavor
on that one?
Flav!
I think that
Vern
was the
was also in Surreal Life. I miss the Surreal Life.
Me too.
It was a good bunch. Who else? We had Gary Coleman in there?
Sure.
Who else do we have in there?
I don't believe Gary Coleman was a part of it. It was Todd Bridges, and Gary Coleman came by for like a special appearance, and Vanilla Ice tried to put him in a fish fryer, and he ran off. I remember him hailing a cab.
Right. Yeah, right.
No, that was a good
Bridges,
one with Charo.
Bridges.
Charo was like Brigitte's handler.
Yeah, Ron Jeremy.
I think Dennis Rodman, maybe.
The brat.
Might have been part of
Ron Jeremy and Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh, that's
oh yeah.
They were living in the house together. That was
what
a great show.
That?
I don't know. They
that's
bring
when
it back.
The Brady guy met, what's her name?
Oh, that's
Adrian
right.
Curry.
Chris Knight made Adrian Curry on that show, too. That was a good show.
It was
always chock full of entertainment. Scott Foley from the Kids in the Hall is 38 years. No, it's not the same guy. That's Nick. What's the Foley from Kids in the Hall?
Dave Foley.
Dave Foley.
Yes.
Yeah. Scott Foley, the actor, is 38 years old today. Former husband of Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
that's a loss. How do you tell that guy, don't worry about it, you're better off?
Yeah,
how do you have beers with that guy? Tell him, don't worry about it. Get over it.
A lot of fish in the sea.
Yeah. How do you do that? Diane Kruger, beautiful, talented actress from Inglourious Basterds most recently. She's 34 years old today. And Mr. Megan Fox, Brian Austin Green. Get used to it, sucker. Mr. Megan Fox. That's right. I said it. He's 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You can lose 100 pounds in 5 days, and it's completely safe.
Awesome.
We'll talk about miracle diets coming up in the Psycho Body Summer Edition in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Playmate Kendra Wilkinson is going to be joining. No Eagles questions from you, by the way, Ralph. She's not coming on to talk about her football husband,
Hank
right?
Basket, wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right, but we don't care about that.
Those two segments sound great. The Psycho Body, which is always educational and entertaining.
Right.
And then Kendra Wilkinson. Let's do either one of those now. Let's do them right away.
First, we got the highlight of the day.
We've got the speed bump.
The best.
Parking garage driveway of our show.
Maybe the best of the week.
I don't know what you have on your schedule. I've got Wheel O' Bad Animal
That's
Voices
That's what I'm
here.
Talking
That's
about.
That's the call right. we're going to make right now.
It's time for the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad.
Zippers. Very exciting. Speaking of squirrels, there are so many great animal stories in the news, and we always have follow-up questions, so this feature was invented so that we can call and talk to some of the animals that are involved
in
the
house. That's why it was invented.
It's always funny,
Ralph. Because you're lazy. And because you can do the same segment over and over again, just plug in animal here.
All right, Mr. Negative, can I read
Who's on the wheel?
What's on the wheel? We have the human-faced lamb in heaven.
Why don't we take that one off the wheel?
You're never going to land
That's
on that.
That's not going to happen.
We have the giant Japanese jellyfish. I don't even remember that story.
I bet it was about a giant Japanese jellyfish.
We have a Russian dog girl. We have the renegade kangaroo.
None of these are ever going to happen.
The Russian dog girl is not an animal, though.
Right.
Hey, listen, people. Stop being picky. It's the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We have Merlin, the iPad dolphin.
All right.
We have the drunk Australian parrots. We have the hurricane chimp.
Hurricane Chimp.
I don't know what that is.
Bob Dylan wrote a song about him.
We have the treating Ugandan gorillas.
I hope it lands on that.
We have Percy the albino squirrel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Percy.
We have the British bionic cat.
Uh-huh.
And we have the Japanese attack bear. So those are all of the options on the wheel.
Oh, where's the time? Look at the time. Where's the Taliban monkeys?
They didn't even make the wheel this week?
The Taliban monkeys could not force their way onto the wheel yet, but they will.
I guess we have too many. All right, well, let's go ahead and spin it and find out which phone call we're going to be making today.
Come on.
Let's just give it up.
Just go with it.
Go with it.
British bionic cat.
No.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Don't leave, Ralph. We're gonna call.
Story.
No, we're gonna call the cat. Oh,
you'll never like it if you don't stick around once.
Wow.
All right. Who's the British bionic cat? Tell me about my friend Oscar.
This is a cat that got both back feet cut off by a combine harvester.
Farm accident?
That's the bad part of the story. So they took the cat to a neuro-orthopedic veterinary surgeon who gave it bionic feet.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yes.
That sounds like, look, I applaud their commitment to their animal. Most people just would put that animal down, I think.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's
but
a cat.
They put metal legs, but they made it so that the actual bone could grow into the metal, and then they gave it bionic feet. And so now it can walk around like a normal. Look at the cat.
That's
it's cute.
Unbelievable.
It's got giant big feet, and then the back has just got two pegs, but with little paws. It's a bionic cat.
That's so cool.
Don't ask me how ahead of time before we knew where it would land. We asked producer Alex to line up Oscar the bionic cat, but I believe we have him on the line with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello there.
Meow.
Oscar, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
Well, we're doing fine. Congratulations on the surgery. How do you feel? How do those new back feet feel to you?
They feel not. It's strange. I'll give you that much. Mm-hmm. Getting used to him.
It's a different sensation.
Very different sensation.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, now I'm bionic.
Right.
Yeah.
I can do things that any other cats can't do.
What can you do
I'm
now?
I'm a $6 million cat.
Right.
Is what I am.
Right.
Right. Right.
Or the 4,000 British pound cat.
That's how much the surgery costs,
That's how
right?
much yeah. it actually costs.
Yeah.
Okay. How powerful are these legs? Does it go beyond just being able to stand up and walk?
Well, let's see how powerful they are.
Oh.
Now I'm in Australia.
What?
I am now in Australia.
That fast? That's amazing.
I started off in England, and now I'm in Australia.
Wow.
That's amazing.
These are not weak legs.
That is better than I thought, though, I have to be honest.
Let me try it again.
All right.
I am now in Siam.
We're not busting the bank on sound effects, are we?
Where is Siam, by the way?
I don't know.
I think, isn't it now Thailand?
It is now Thailand, yeah.
All right, good.
But, yeah. I can't work in a Siamese cat joke if it's Thailand, can I?
Oh, I see. Yeah. I thought maybe you traveled back in time. I thought that's how powerful the legs were. I got you. Hey, not to take the bid in reverse here, but what happened with the combine harvester? How did you lose your legs in a tragic farm accident? That's unusual for a cat.
Well, I was in the field.
Right.
And a combine harvester came by and cut my back legs off.
Right.
Difficult a concept is that for you to grasp?
And how do you expect...
What do you think happened with the combine harvester?
I got up
inside the harvester and tried to drive it and then got my legs all tangled up in the gas and brake pedals and then ripped them off?
I'm just speaking for myself. I don't see how that's where the comedy lies.
Well, he thinks curiosity is a noble thing.
I don't know. How do you know about that, Oscar?
I don't know. Curiosity killed my uncle.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
He's playing himself off.
All right. We accept that.
But I can still play the keyboard.
Well done. Hey, party people. Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Leonardo DiCaprio tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow.
I know, that's ridiculous, right?
That's crazy, right? And this Inception, how great does this movie look?
It looks so good.
How unbelievable does this... It looks like a mind blower.
Yeah.
And he's a tremendous actor, and I love him in everything he does, so I'm very excited. Tomorrow, Leonardo DiCaprio right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, and boy, talk about a step down. Talk about a drop-off in quality. Psycho Mike is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And Psycho Mike, we're going to take some calls in a minute for the summer edition of your famous feature, The Psycho Body. And the reason I wanted to bring you in and talk about this is because there's a story that's getting a lot of play right now about Mr. and Mrs. Kutcher, Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, who are on the Master Cleanse. And because there's no amount of information they don't think their fans want to hear about them, they are tweeting about it constantly.
Sure do miss steak and beer. Austin will let you know every 10 seconds.
What is the Master Cleanse? Because it is a term I've heard for a long time and seems to be one of those diets or diet fads or something that will not quit.
We ask Psycho Mike because he was or is a trained therapist.
I don't know.
I'm a therapist. A trainer. I mean, a trainer.
I don't know if I'm still accredited.
Certified?
Yeah,
okay.
But I was at one time.
All right, so tell us about this particular one.
The Master Cleanse is a period of time, I think it's like 3 weeks, where you eat, the only calories you ingest are from water, cayenne pepper, lemon, and maple syrup. It's a mixture of detoxifying properties.
Maple syrup sounds like nothing but fat.
Yeah, it's pure sugar, but something in maple syrup. Like I said, these all have the detoxifying properties, and it's supposed to work. It'd be a great way to lose a bunch of weight quickly, and sure does work because you're eating 400 calories a day.
That's the reason.
Yeah, and as soon as you get rid of this diet and you go back to being a normal person, it all comes back. These are all these really wacky. They're like get rich quick schemes. I mean, they're meaningless, and they catch people's eye because everybody wants to know how they can get some type of result quickly. Because no one wants to be able to put in the patience that it would take.
So you can't live on this particular diet.
No.
Is this unhealthy, or is this something that if you really do have a wedding coming up in 3 weeks, it's okay to do this to lose the weight?
I don't know. There might be some benefit, like I said, from a detoxifying standpoint. But anytime you do anything that you can't live forever on, it's not right for the human system. I mean, that's the basis of it being not right to live forever that way. It should tell you right there, this probably isn't good for me.
What should I eat so that I could live forever? Because I didn't know that diet existed.
Well, Alwyn Cosgrove, a guy I respect a lot, his guy's name's Alwyn Cosgrove, Cosgrove. He just wrote a huge post and a big, long, long kind of like diatribe about the green faces diet.
I don't know what that is.
What it essentially means is eat things that are green and have faces, meaning animals. Protein, you know, fish and beef and chicken and things like that, and vegetables that are green. And he says, I know that sounds overly simple, but as I got to reading it more and more, it's really the basis of what you should be putting. Things that are going to be appropriate for the human system are things that were available to us on Earth when Paleolithic man was walking around.
Right. Stuff that's not processed.
Right.
Whatever.
But that doesn't allow for Oreos.
How can any kind
of a permanent diet that doesn't involve Oreos be reasonable?
Well, you can have them once in a while.
Correct.
You just can't have them every day, Bean.
Then we reject that.
No. All right. Listen, Mike, we're going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have, how should we even phrase this? If you've heard of like the Master Cleanse, you've heard of a program and you want to know whether it's healthy or if it's a type of thing you should do or if it's the type of thing you should stay on and how long. We want to hear those questions for you. But I have a couple of others that have been kind of become famous because of celebrities that I just want to run by real quick. And maybe you can tell me what you know about these. For instance, the cabbage soup diet is something that Sarah Michelle Gellar has talked about, which basically you eat nothing but cabbage soup. And I guess it has tomatoes and onions and other things like that in it. Yeah. What about that?
A lot of these soup diets, Lisa and I were just talking about 21 for 21, the Martha's Vineyard diet, which Robin Quivers lost like 80 pounds
on.
Yes,
she did.
These are at least a little bit a step up from like these all liquid cleanses in that the foods that they recommend you put in these soups and juices have a lot of digestive enzymes and they're really nutrient dense, things like green cruciferous vegetables and stuff
sure.
like that. And so you're just packing yourself full of a lot of really good nutrient dense foods that happen to have a lot of digestive aid in them.
Does so that one include curly fries?
No, it doesn't seem to include curly fries.
All right.
But,
and that one, most of the time when I see it, it's like you start a diet and you start with that diet for 3 days. It's sort of a kickstart.
Yeah.
Just to get you some results fast.
And I'm not totally against the idea of certain diets starting with kind of what you would call a reset period. Because right. a lot of the food that you're if you especially if you need to lose weight, a lot of the food you're typically eating is kind of screwing up and gunking up your digestive tract. So hormonally and digestive-wise, you might need to do a little bit of a, like I said, a reset.
So you don't mind the cabbage soup for a few days?
Right. And any diet that gives you a layout of how you should eat for a prolonged period of time is going to work better than anything else you're doing. But it's a matter of looking at things from a reasonable standpoint. And you can't really make a sizable difference in your health and in your weight in a quick period of time. If you could, then everybody would be
there's a
thin.
Lot of diets out there that promise that. That's all I know.
Let me ask you one more before we go to calls. 1-800-520-1067. If you've got a plan you've heard about, you want to talk to Mike about, and this is one that Oprah really helped blow up a couple of years ago, and people still swear by, and I think it's pronounced the acai berry?
Acai.
Acai berry,
yeah. But what
which
about,
apparently is an antioxidant.
What about that?
Apparently it's an antioxidant or something. It's supposed to help you lose weight. What's the deal on the
acai?
Yeah,
it's big in like South America because I guess it comes from the Amazon and stuff. And it's a berry. It's like really healthy. It's got a lot of antioxidants and stuff like that. But look, okay, people, when you're analyzing these diets, these mostly fad diets, look at the big proponents of them. They're never the Jessica Biel-endorsed diet. They're
yeah.
never, you know what I'm saying? They're never the Hugh Jackman-endorsed diet.
Whatever
it's
Oprah's
always,
doing, I don't want to do.
And you look at it, just look at that. I mean, these are people that are looking for a fad diet because they've always battled their weight. If you look at the people that you have the body and the lifestyle that you want to have for your own, they're always people that are proponents of, I try to exercise as much as I possibly can and eat a really healthy diet for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And I know that is shattering a lot of people's dreams. But that's the bottom line, and I'm not saying that to be a buzzkill. I'm saying that because there's so much stuff that you read and you see out there in the media.
Every
that
women's
is BS.
Magazine every month has 10
new
ways
diet.
To lose weight, 10 exercises you should be doing, and it's different every
yes.
month. It
it's different every time,
nuts.
Lisa May, and a lot of times it will work to help you lose 10 pounds in 10 days.
Right.
And you know what? If you really want to lose 30 pounds in 4 days. I can tell you how to do it. It'll all be water, and then you'll gain it right back. Not to mention, you will be 30 pounds less on the scale. No one will notice a lick of difference in your appearance.
You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah, it's just like the fighter who's trying to make weight to
right.
get into the ring. It doesn't have any bearing on your appearance to people. So I mean,
interesting.
There's a lot of like misinformation.
I'm on the entire just chocolate shake one. I just have a chocolate
you.
Shake for lunch.
Look,
and then dinner.
By the way, there are people who say if you pick one food and only eat that, whatever it is, you'll eventually lose weight because you'll get tired of that food and won't eat as much.
Well, yeah,
but
I mean,
you won't start eating something else. You just stop eating all the
time. No, I mean, if you make that your pledge, is all right. I'm only going to eat chocolate shakes, but I can have as many of them as I want. Eventually, you get so sick of it, you take fewer and fewer, and you end up losing weight.
I know
I've heard that theory.
Sounds silly, but there's a lot of people, you know, reliable people, scientists that are saying that's the basis behind low carb dieting is that. It's not that the hormonal effects that everybody's been purporting, it's that you're restricting your diet so much that you can only eat so much meat and cheese.
Right.
That eventually the caloric intake just gets lower. So,
right.
I mean.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. Leave it there. The Psycho Body is on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can ask your question at 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back.
Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
1-800-520-1067 if you have questions for the Psycho Body, the summer edition. Today, we're talking about Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher. They are in the news because they're doing the Master Cleanse. If you haven't heard about this, it's lemon, cayenne pepper, and maple syrup, and that's all you ingest, right, Mike? For how long? Like 3 weeks?
I think it's like 3 weeks or something
like
that.
You mix it together?
By the way, two major fatties. Need to cut the pounds off those
two. Yeah, those two. We really do have a lot of LBs to lose.
So anyway, we discussed the Master Cleanse, but we are taking calls on that and other diets that you've heard of for quick weight loss and how healthy are they. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Christy. She's on line six. And again, the reason we wanted to do this today is everybody is looking for the quick solution, right, Mike? Nobody wants to say, I want to lose weight in a year. Yeah. Everybody wants to lose weight in a month.
If anybody had wrapped their heads around what it really takes to be in good shape and have a good physique, they wouldn't be on the phone right now. So,
wow. So you're insulting them as we begin.
Yes.
All right. Christy, hi.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Hi, guys. Lisa May.
Hi, Christy.
And by the way, but before you ask your question, I would like to say again, Mike is not a doctor. Whatever he says, please, please triple check with anyone else,
and
including Wikipedia.
When I was a trainer, I did send two people to the hospital.
That's correct. So know that up front. Okay.
Well, thank you.
What's your question?
My question is, I have a lot of friends that take Adderall to lose weight really quickly.
Yeah.
And I tried it once, and it just felt like my whole body was
shaking. Christy, stop. Do you really need to ask this question? Of course, it's not a good means to lose weight. It's a low-dose speed.
I know that. Okay. I just want to know how unhealthy it is.
It's very. It's
addicting, isn't it?
It's a pharmaceutical product designed to help people with problems focusing, and it's essentially low-dose speed, and don't do that.
I don't understand. How can millions of people take a prescription for it every day? Wouldn't it have adverse health effects on them if they're not using it to lose weight?
I mean, how many times have you seen a prescription commercial that says side effects may include? And then there's this litany of
always
stuff.
Diarrhea, by the way. So every single problem.
It serves its purpose, I'm sure, pharmaceutically, but it's not a good way to lose weight.
Don't
it's
do
very
it.
Unhealthy.
All right.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Daniel. He's on line three, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show for the Psycho Body. He's talking about one that's getting all the headlines these days. Hi, Daniel. You're on with Psycho Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hi. It's actually a two-part question. I was looking into that PX90 or the P90X, and I was thinking about doing that.
Yeah.
Not really completely out of shape, but I'd like to tone it up real quick.
Yeah.
And would you guys be able to convince my wife that an all-semen diet would help her lose weight?
All right. I think we're going to pass on the wife question and just stick to the P. What is it? The
P90X is actually it's this at-home like DVD type of workout plan and diet, and it's actually from what I can tell very it's great. It's great if you can do it. You know, right. What I'm saying? If you every single day go home and pop in a DVD and clear out the couch and follow this workout plan, it will work very well. But that's not the problem. It's the problem is do you have the devotion to the said program? And that's where you know.
So this isn't a food problems. Thing. It's a workout thing.
No, I believe P90X actually does include some dietary tips and stuff like that. But it's actually a great plan based in some real like actual hard work. But the problem is that not many people are going to stick with it for the 12
it
weeks
is really
or whatever.
Hard work,
you know?
Yeah.
As far as the question about his wife, the answer is yes. That is that's all true.
Yeah.
Let's
totally.
Say Jennifer. She's got. Jennifer's on line five. She's got an alphabet soup question for us too because they've all got these complicated names. Jennifer, you're on with Psycho Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, Psycho Mike. I was just wondering, what do you think about the HCG diet? Like, if you don't buy the stuff online, but you actually go through a doctor and get, like, a legitimate prescription.
Right.
First,
and
what
by
is
the
that?
Way, HCG, it stands for human cono-something gonadotropin. It's a big, long word. But
right.
HCG is, it's been used as a fertility drug. It's what Manny Ramirez had in his system when he got busted. It's a way of kickstarting your little fellas in your pants. A lot of bodybuilders use it. After they do a cycle of steroids, because you get the testicular atrophy, it shuts off. So you use HCG to kind of get
it going again.
Little boys working
How
again.
How would she even get a doctor to give that to her?
Look, anytime Jennifer, here's the deal.
Go to
HCG
Mexico.
HCG definitely is effective at what it's designed for, at manipulating your hormones internally. I don't feel comfortable endorsing any diet that is based in you going and buying stuff. You know, because I can tell you from firsthand experience, all you need to be very successful at a diet is at the supermarket.
You're a downer.
You know what I'm saying?
You're a downer. You're boring me.
You're Buzz Killington.
You're a buzzkill.
I'm telling you.
There's got to be something that works.
Yeah, I told you what works.
No other than exercise and eating well.
Let's try Mark. He's on line two. Another very common question for the Psycho Body. It's been a while since we addressed it, though. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Master Mike.
Yes.
What about the colonics procedure?
Well, I mean, I...
Do you enjoy that?
I think it works at what it's designed for, removing waste from your body very quickly. But, you know, if that you're only losing the amount of weight of waste that you were then removed from your body, it's not going to really affect you in a long-term sense.
Without being too gross, there's supposedly stuff that stays there forever that you could get rid of.
I don't buy that. You would smell like rot.
Have you been close to me?
And also, the human body's pretty good at removing its own waste.
Okay,
number two and number one are designed for.
Mike, what about the old the thing your mom told you from the minute you started chewing gum that it would stay in your stomach for 7
years? That's
not true either, right?
No, that is true. No,
I mean, it just can't be because, like, I've swallowed a lot less digestible stuff than gum, like batteries when I was a little kid and marbles, and it just comes out, you know?
Eventually, right. Yeah. All right, we already have time for one more. Let's make it Ophelia. She is on line 7 with our final question for the Psycho Body. Psycho Mike is on the air. Hey, go ahead, Ophelia.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
I am taking Centrum right now. I get it prescribed by my doctor, and I get monthly checkups, you know, regarding how it's going and stuff.
I'm sorry to be the dumb one, but what is that?
It's like a weight loss medication.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thin fat.
And stuff like that. My question is, how is it going to be effective after I stop using it?
Well, I would imagine any type of kind of metabolic stimulant you would taper off as you take. I've never personally used it or known anybody that does, but you typically taper off after you're deciding that you don't just stop altogether cold turkey. Over a long period of time, anything that's based in stimulation of the metabolism will lose effectiveness in the jitteriness. But there's a lot of studies and there's debate as to whether or not you lose effectiveness in its ability to make you lose weight. So I really don't know. It's probably a question for your doctor.
It also kills your appetite, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kills your appetite, but it gives you the energy to keep going.
Yeah, I took Fen-Phen for a while, a long time ago, and it was a great appetite killer. But you go off it,
look, any stimulant based property, any medication or drug that has stimulant based properties, like cocaine or methamphetamine or ephedrine, anything it can be, is going to reduce your appetite, and it's going to give you a false sense of energy because your heart rate increases.
I'm on the cocaine and cigarette diet. Does that work?
It's worked for models all over the world for years now, Kevin.
So good. So that's a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KIOQ, and it is 7:56.
Mrs. Hank Basket is coming up after the top of the hour, Ralph. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, stop it.
Kendra Wilkinson.
We're seeding out of many Kevin Cobb touchdowns this year.
Kendra Wilkinson is who we're talking to. We're not talking about the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's
not happening.
Eagles!
Not
I want to get his take on the McNabb trade.
Not
I want to hear
I'm not talking to him.
Kevin Cobb. Well,
he's not even going to be on the phone.
Why can't she put him on the phone?
Because we're talking to Kendra about her book.
We don't want her to.
Who cares about
her?
We
do.
If you had your choice.
Shocker's a blonde playmate. Heffer used to bang. Woo! She is unique. She is newsworthy. Let's talk to her.
Details. They never tell anything.
Yeah, it's less boring than tell me about the Eagles. When the season starts, 3 months from now?
Sorry, football.
Hey, I love football, but
apparently
it's not happening now.
Apparently not. Apparently you want to talk about the most grim day of her life.
Oh, dear.
Where she was forced to ride Hefner.
Oh, that is frightening. That is a frightening passage of the book.
She was not forced, by the way. She wasn't forced. She chose.
She felt like she had to, because all the other girls were doing it.
That's not forced.
Because
that's...
she didn't want to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw riding Hefner last night. They were good.
Yeah.
Very good.
The Troop? Were they the Troop?
Very good.
All right, Kendra Wilkinson in moments on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, here's Ralph Garman with the showbiz beat.
Well, radaronline.com, and apparently the staff of this website is now sleeping with Oksana Grigoreva because they seem to get all the information firsthand. They have found out that there are now photos of Mel Gibson's baby with Oksana named Lucia.
Right.
With a bruise on her chin. Which is going to be used as evidence to Oksana's claim, which is Mel Gibson hit her and, while hitting her, actually accidentally struck the baby during the course of their relationship.
She did say that in the phone call that...
What kind of man are you who hits a woman with holding a baby?
She did say that. Yes.
Those photos will be a vital piece of evidence that Oksana will use in court today when she goes before a judge in her custody battle with Mel regarding the baby. So, I'm sure it's just a matter of time before we see those.
Is today the day, though, that when, like, do they have to dole this out day after day? Can they just bring out the information and and just show it to everyone.
Would you wait, record? Well,
what? I mean, just...
If you're Radar Online, you want it to last as
day,
long as possible. Keep those eyes going to that site.
Of course.
And these he said, she said domestic violence cases must be extremely difficult to investigate because, look, the baby could have a bruise. Baby also could have fallen off a chair. You know, sure. I mean, there's really no way to kind of prove that that's how it happened.
Absolutely. Right. Oksana also claims that Mel Gibson pulled a gun on her when she tried to leave his house.
I believe that, by the way.
I saw Lethal Weapon, man. Yeah, he was quick to pull that out.
Yep. A little crazy.
Yeah, it's, by the way, Radar Line, if you are sleeping with Oksana, use a condom. Because it'll get messy if you get her knocked up. Just ask Timothy Dalton and Mel Gibson. Lizzie Lohan! In perhaps a last-minute attempt to avoid jail, has checked herself into a sober living house.
Sober living house?
Yep. She figures if she spends 5 days in a sober living house before she gets into jail, it'll reflect well on her seriousness to try to get sober and set herself right.
But she didn't do rehab because sober living comes after rehab. She's not doing rehab. She's just doing the sober living.
Well, she's going to do mandatory rehab once she's out of jail.
Right.
But she can't complete a program, obviously, in 5 days. So this is her, I guess, attempt to seem genuine about her attempts to get clean.
All right.
The sober house, by the way, was founded by Robert Shapiro. Hmm.
Okay.
Who, interestingly enough, of course, represented OJ during his trial and started a no murder house, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, people go not to murder.
Wow.
Which I think is nice of him. Radar Online has the exclusive video of her checking into the sober house, by the way. They do some good work, this Radar Online.
They've got an in somewhere. She knows someone or one of those deals. You know, that's always how it works.
It is still on like Donkey Kong between Jake and Vienna. Oh, it's tearing me apart, this relationship.
What happened?
Are we still talking about the Bachelor?
Hello. Jake decided to propose to Vienna, but then he got Dancing with the Stars. Then he became sort of full of himself, and the relationship started to deteriorate. Now, Jake claims it's because Vienna was an emasculating shrew. However, Jake now is being accused of being gay by Vienna. Vienna told an ex-boyfriend, I'm not kidding, who wouldn't want to touch me? He's obviously gay. Listen, I saw the interview you guys did on The Bachelorette a couple weeks ago, Vienna. I want to touch you with a snow shovel to the back of the head. I can see how you'd get unsexy real quick after talking to you for about 10 minutes.
And she whines and she cries all the time, and she's such a drama queen.
Oh. Look, it's true for women and guys.
I don't think maybe he wasn't gay before he started dating you, but I can definitely see you driving a man into the arms of another man.
It's true for guys and girls, and that is, no matter how hot you are, people can be turned off by your personality way more.
There's no better example than Tyra Banks.
Tyra Banks.
Remember how we all thought she was so smoking hot, and then we started listening to her talk, and now she's the ugliest woman on television.
Now, you're not going to turn on your new girlfriend, Allie, the Bachelorette, right? You still love her, right?
I love Allie. You know what? Allie's in for big trouble because she picked three guys to go to Tahiti with her, which is such a romantic paradise. But I think one of the guys, Kirk from Chicago, I think he is getting back together with his old girlfriend. I think he's going to drop the bomb on Allie when they're in the islands.
Gay.
What?
Gay.
Oh, that's what I thought you said.
Anyway. Holy mackerel.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Allie left her job at Facebook just to be on the show, Kevin. She's giving up everything for love.
Yeah, that's what she's doing.
Oh, Lisa, who hurt you?
I think he's a homosexual.
I agree.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Terry O'Quinn from Lost is 58 years old today. Willie Ames from Eight is Enough and Charles in Charge. Charles in charge of our days and our nights. I need that theme song.
You don't.
He is 50 years old today. Forrest Whitaker is 49. Brigitte Nielsen, former Red Sonja, former wife to Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
She is 47 years old today. Brian Austin Green, Mr. Megan Fox, turns 37. And Diane Kruger, beautiful and talented actress, celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, our weekly visit from Dr. Drew coming up next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And was Mel Gibson set up? Some interesting theories going around as a result of these tapes being released.
Ralph, we're not going to need you here.
E-A-G-L-E-S,
but
Eagles!
No, thank you for joining us in the studio. Your
fly, Eagles, fly.
No, this is about Mrs. Basket, not Mr. Basket this time. All right, turn off his mic if you have to.
You have a phone call in the other
room. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Book Club Thursday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are proud to welcome the author of the number 4 best-selling book on the New York Times bestseller list today, by the way, Kendra Wilkinson, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Seriously, what's going on?
Seriously, stop it.
Kendra, our friend Ralph Garman here, Philadelphia Eagles fan number 1, is just driving us crazy. Yeah, because through osmosis, he feels like talking to you on the phone gets him one step closer to Hank, who he loves because of the Eagles.
He's actually feeding the baby right now when I'm talking to you.
But he's not available for phone conversation. So, Ralph, you can go in the other room.
Well, she can ask him from there.
No,
and
no.
I'll ask him.
Nope.
How do you like Kevin Cobb? That's what I want to know, Kendra.
Oh, he loves Kevin Cobb. Like, that's, I mean, you know, he's a great quarterback. I know, you know, in the past there's been a little bit, couple mistakes he's made, but, yeah. You know. He's actually a great quarterback. And,
all right, you're out, Ralph. Thank you.
We trust him. I think this is his year.
Okay. Just tell Hank that a lot of Eagles fans locally in Southern California are very happy he's back on the team.
Hey, Kendra, how much of a football fan were you before you met your husband?
I was a football fan my whole life. You know, grew up a Chargers fan. And, you know, of course, my mom was Philadelphia Eagles. My family was born and raised on the East Coast, so I have that Eagles, you know, I've some Eagles blood in me too. But I was born and raised a Chargers fan.
How about that? Interesting. Kendra is fascinating because we thought we knew everything about her because of how much time she's been on our television, because of the Girls Next Door show and all the publicity and all the other things she does. Then you write this book. And I think you blew a lot of people's mind because they don't look at you and go, yeah, that's a chick who looks like she was doing meth when she was 13.
Right.
I mean,
it's like that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure that I get mad when people think that I, you know, I was born in the glamorous life and the Playboy life. No, I have a past. I have a story and I have, you know, what led me up to the mansion. I know everybody knows me from being at the mansion, but I wanted to tell my story, like what got me to the mansion and my decision making throughout my life. And
now that's interesting to me because a lot of girls who go down that drug path and then end up as you did as an underage stripper, a lot of them kind of get stuck there and never.
Wait, how was I've heard that. Why? How is 18 underage?
How is she underage?
Yeah,
Bean,
explain that.
Would you take that back?
Maybe I'm just a victim of poor reporting. Then
no, it's not. You're not fault. I've heard that before. I've heard that being said, and I'm like, how is that underage?
Okay, so you were not underage, you were 18.
No, that's been said a lot of times. So you're probably not that from the internet or something. But
18-year-old strippers are the best kind of strippers, so if that's what you were, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. But my question was, how did you get out of that cycle? Because a lot of girls, when they go down that path, the stripping and drugs path, that's it. Their whole lives are effed up.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I wasn't doing drugs while I was stripping. It was like a whole thing. You know, I quit drugs at 16. I found my life, and I became a dental assistant. And then, you know, I loved being a dental assistant. That was like, it made me feel so good, feeling professional. But then I turned 18, and I'm like, you know, I want to make some quick money, and I want to move out of my mom's house. So
sure.
I just, you know, decided to go in and make some quick money, and then I found myself at the mansion a couple months later.
Now, how did that happen?
You know, I had I was in a relationship at the time, and you know, I was a total tomboy, 100%. You know, even though I was stripping, I was like, you know, I'd never modeled, never did anything. I didn't even get my boobs done to model. It was for me, you know, because I was an athlete growing up, you know, and I just wanted to, you know, get something, you know, I wanted to feel like a girl. So I got my, you know, my boobs done.
So if somebody got a lap dance from you, you'd go, hey, so the Chargers this year, huh? How about that?
Hey, I got Philip Rivers.
Well, you know, the Chargers would come in and I'd be like, hey, what's up?
That's interesting. Yeah.
Very different. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Where was I?
We were talking about how you got to the mansion. How did that happen?
Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, everybody wanted me to take a picture, and one picture led to another, and I don't know how it ended up at the mansion, but the photographer that took the picture ended up at the mansion, and Hef walked by my picture out of all pictures that were in the room and said, who's this girl? Call this girl. And it was so weird. I don't even know how I'm here right now.
Okay.
God bless you, Hefter, by the way, who at the time was 78 years old, who still has that kind of discerning eye for talent.
Yeah.
Picture all the girls that he sees, all the pictures he sees, yet he saw your face and went, yes, I must have her.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know it's weird to everybody else from the outside, but you know what? At the time, it was right for me because I just felt like, again, I was a tomboy my whole life. I never looked in the mirror and saw beautiful until, you know, until I got to the mansion, until, you know, I saw Hef with so many beautiful girls, and I'm like, oh my God, his eyes are on me, and I just like felt so special, and it was like that one, it was like that feeling. I don't know. I know it's, everybody thinks it's so weird and this and that, but at the timing of my life, it was right, and you know, now I'm at the right time of my life now. You know what I'm saying?
Right. This is the voice of Kendra Wilkinson you're listening to on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about her book in stores now called Sliding Into Home. That is a huge hit, and of course, the passages that have been most heavily excerpted are the ones about you basically getting in line, ready to hop on Hef, which sounds like a Dr. Seuss book to me, Hop on Hef.
Hey, you know, there's been millions of books about that before, but I mean, you know, I just, I didn't write this book out of being mad or jealous or anything.
No, I know, but really, when you talk about how weird it is on the outside, you know, for those of us on the outside, it sounds terrifying and horrible to be in that situation where that's what you're being asked to do.
It was different. I wouldn't say terrifying. That's kind of like a little harsh, but it was just different. You know what I'm saying?
And if you don't mind, I'm sorry. I haven't followed that whole story. Tell us about how it worked with him. There was a line of girls.
You were one of the body paint girls at one of the parties, right, Kendra?
Yeah, I was one of the body painted girls. And, that, you know, those girls are just there to, you know, it was like a job, you know, serving shots and everything. Mm-hmm. And then he asked me that day to move in, and then I spent like a couple weeks going up and back and forth, and then finally moved in, and that's when it all happened.
Now what happened? I want to know what happened with the line specifically. He would have girls line up.
It wasn't like, you know, it was only like two. Yeah, you know, and I mean, it wasn't like there's so many, but yeah, plus two.
and you just take turns, and he just is there, just kind of waiting for you.
Yeah. I was a free spirit.
Hugh Hefner, by the way. Hugh Hefner, ladies and gentlemen. Come on.
That sounds awesome.
Nah, but, you know, that, he's a great guy, you know. I know, it's probably weird to everybody from the outside, but,
it's weird for a number of reasons. Obviously, the age difference is the one that is most striking. Yeah. But it's also weird to be part of, you know, a polygamous relationship, essentially, you to share a guy who was kind of being your boyfriend with other girls at the same time.
Like I went into it knowing I was going to get married to the guy. Come on, I'm not going to, you know, I was going in to have a good time, have fun. I was 18. I was ready. I was just wanting to experience a different part of life, and I did.
And we look at it from the outside, though, and we say, wow, how must that work? As guys, especially. Hef, you know, how does it work? He's got three girlfriends, and are they all in the bed at the same time? And how does all that go on?
You know, it's in my book. So
there you go, Kevin.
Nice. Book. What a tease. Damn it.
Well, you're very smart to see the path that you were able to take and get out of it what you wanted to get out of. And like you said, it put you in a position to be living exactly the life that you want to live now, right?
And it's like, you know, people come up to me all the time and like, do you regret anything? I'm like, do you regret? I'm like, why would I? Look at where I'm at. I have my son, my husband. I'm enjoying life to the full. I'm on to season 3. I'm like, you know, why would I regret one thing? I wouldn't rip out one page of my book for anything. Like, that's, you know, it's just everything led me to right now, you know?
This is why girls who get naked are the best.
You know what's funny is that people are like, wow, you just had a crazy past. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm still living. I'm like, I'm only 25. I'm going to probably write another. I'm making mistakes still. I'm not
right.
Gonna, like, you know.
Everything's not perfect for you?
I'm not a saint.
It is a little early to write your life story, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Kendra, unfortunately, we're out of time, and I'm so sad you weren't able to come down and be with us in studio, because we do have so many more questions for you. So maybe later on in the book tour, if some time opens up, you'll come in and visit us, because we'd love to have you.
Oh, yeah.
Don't bring Hank. Tell Hank to keep his head up as he's going across the slot, because I don't want him to get hurt or anything this season.
Oh, yeah. He's been busting his ass. Let me tell you, he's been working so hard.
The book is called Sliding Into Home, from author Kendra Wilkinson, in stores now. Kendra, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean
Thank
Show.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew in minutes for his weekly Thursday visit. Another reminder, Leonardo DiCaprio on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we're going to talk to the double rainbow guy. You know, Bear? Yosemite Bear? The guy
love
with
him
the
so much.
Oh, yeah.
The high guy
mean?
With the rainbow.
What does it mean?
Talk to him tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show. You've probably had your fill of listening to the tapes from Mel Gibson. Right. You heard enough of that. You heard enough of screaming to last you a while. But there is another angle, and I'm starting to hear more and more of this, and we're starting to get emails on this topic, too. Not that anybody is excusing Mel Gibson, but there are people who are now looking at Oksana, the other voice on these tapes, and saying, I think she's playing him like a fiddle. I think she's intentionally enraging him. She knows she's recording him. She's out basically to entrap him and soak him for as much money as possible. And that's an interesting perspective from somebody who I look at and go, that woman is a victim.
Yeah, yeah, although she does sound super, super, super calm.
Yeah.
And maybe that's only because she knows she's recording.
Mm-hmm.
But I took for granted, and maybe this isn't the case, that this had happened before and she was fed up with it, and that's why she set up to tape it. Maybe she was pushing his buttons to try and get, you know, him to lose it.
But my buttons don't go that far.
That's what I say. That's what I say. I
mean, my buttons go, I'm so mad at you. I hate you. That's as far as my buttons go.
We had a listener, you know, email us and say she was playing him like a fiddle. She set it all up, and she was just
Doing it for the money, right? I mean, that was this listener's suggestion, is that she's doing it just because she knows the madder she gets him, the easier it will be to get a huge payday out of him because of, you know, the scandal and whatnot, and the trouble with the law.
But taking a bat upside the head is not a level that most people ever. It doesn't come into your head. Hey, I wonder if I should take a bat upside her head, and then you think, no, that's a bad idea. Like, it never enters your mind.
The level of his anger is ridiculous.
And if she's playing him, then I don't care because he needs to be played.
That's still there in him.
We want to take some calls if you've thought about this too, and you, I almost don't even want to phrase it with you're putting some of the blame on Oksana. But do you think that she is intentionally enraging him for her own desirous outcome, I guess is what the question is going to be. You think she's pushing his buttons. You can call it 1-800-520-1067. We've all heard many, many minutes of this tape right now, and she is unbelievably calm and, for the most part, non-confrontational. It doesn't sound to me like she's trying to fight back. And maybe, you know, if you're one of these people who believes that she's, you know, pushing his buttons, maybe that's intentionally because she's just trying to reel him in and make him look as bad as possible and her look as good as possible.
I don't understand how that helps her financially. She has his baby.
Yeah.
Unless she was going to blackmail him with these tapes, I don't get how
this
helps her financially.
Which is what he's alleging, by the way.
But she didn't. It went out, and she gave it to Radar Online, so that wasn't
blackmail.
Well,
it doesn't mean that she didn't try. I mean, I don't think we know whether she tried.
We don't know. And she claims she didn't give it to Radar Online, by the way, so we don't know how it got out, according to her. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of questions still to be answered. Let's listen to just a little bit of the tape, and we'll go to your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. I'm not sure which piece we're going to hear here, but does this sound like somebody who's pulling Mel's strings? Listen up.
I swear in front of God I never have.
Ugly man, you don't give a so long as they pay your rent.
I am not the whore, and I'm not the bitch, and I'm not the and I'm not the user, and I'm not the thief. Are you insane? Yes, you are, of course. We can hear that because you're screaming.
You get everything you want.
Don't call me bitch. I don't have a penny to me.
You could go through money like a whore. I don't understand you. You're saying stupid. How dare you even
all right, blah, blah, blah. So he keeps going.
And he's so rich. Why is he so upset about
I don't know.
The money?
I don't know, but she did say one thing that was curious, which we can hear.
She's
clearly,
too.
You know, knows that it's recording.
Are you
recording.
Insane? Yes, we can hear
we
that.
We can hear that. But even having said that, if this guy is that abusive, then good for her.
He's a guy you have to tiptoe around. And not piss off.
And she even says that on one of the tapes, is that she's just terrified of him all the time.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. What's really going on here? Do you think Oksana is playing Mel Gibson like a fiddle, as one of our emailers suggested? We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Maybe Mel and Oksana aren't really fighting. Maybe it's an improv class that they're taking, where they're just trying to act like they would if they were in an argument. You ever think about that?
No, I can honestly say I never thought about that. Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Not a bit, no.
We're taking your calls on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Here's the kind of email that we're getting this time from Casey, and then we'll go right to your calls. John, you'll be up first, so please hang on. Of course, she's being intentional in how she responds because she knows that she's taping. She's showing everybody that he gets this enraged when she's calm and non-confrontational. By the way, can you only imagine what he's like when she responds in kind and yells and screams back? That would be a fight.
Yeah.
That is what Casey says. So she's very aware that she's taping the call, and therefore she's making herself look as good as possible and him look as crazy as possible, which in Mel Gibson's case, not hard to do, apparently.
Yeah, it seems like that level of crazy, if that exists, it needs to be put out there. To
I
me,
think
it
so
seems
too.
Like that.
All right, let's go to line one, please. John is on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show. John, thank you for hanging on. What do you think?
What do you do, guys? Hey, and Baby Boo, hello.
Hi, John.
Hey, I look to you guys as the voice of reason, and I'm glad you're showing the other side of this. I mean, in a world full of idiots, you know, you guys, you know, cut through the BS and, like, you know, point out when people are ignorant, and clearly Mel Gibson is an idiot. But, man, this girl is clearly, clearly just pushing his buttons, trying to get him mad and being cool. And, you know, also, I mean, there's a point, in the state of California, it's a felony to record somebody without their consent, you know? I mean, so she's going to end up with...
Yeah, we wondered about that. We wondered about not being useful in court. What did you find out about that, Bean?
Well, one analyst that I heard, and I'm glad you brought that up, John, because that hasn't gotten very much media play, is the discussion is, hey, are these tapes going to be at all useful to law enforcement because they're illegally recorded because California is a two-party consent state? I have heard, and maybe we'll ask Harvey about this next time we have him on from TMZ.com, that there are some exceptions in that law that have to do with felonies being committed and the intent to commit felonies. And something like hitting your baby mama over the head with a baby bat would be a felony, meaning
a baseball
that there
bat.
Baseball bat, right. Meaning that there may be an exemption for something like this to be allowed in court. But I guess that's for down the road when we'll find out. But
John,
let me ask you about this. You think she's clearly trying to trap him.
Oh, yeah.
99% of what I've heard on these tapes, she's so passive and really not fighting back at all. What do you mean by that?
You're smart, man. You know, I mean, since she knows she's recording and she's going to use it, you know, like, against him, of course she's going to be calm. I mean, he should have even known that was a giveaway, that she might be recording him, you know?
But, I mean, the last piece of tape that we played, she said, "Are you insane? Of course you are." That's really the only inflammatory thing I've heard her say in this whole week. Everything else has just been, she almost just sits there and takes it.
She's almost just Xanaxed out.
Yeah, but what about the phone call that she didn't record right before that where she got him pumped up for, like, probably a half hour calling him? You're not a real man.
Look, that could have happened. That could have happened. Listen, it really could have happened.
What is it probably you think not. She's trying to accomplish, John, other than to protect herself?
Isn't there a custody hearing today or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, blackmail, all that, you know? Because she admitted she doesn't have a penny without him.
Well, she has his child. She's going to get money.
She's right. Going to get money for sure, yeah.
All right, John, thank you very much for the call. We've got some other guys to get to, including Erica. She is on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Erica. We're talking about Oksana. Was she just pushing Mel's buttons?
Yes, I feel she was. And that's from a woman's point of view. I can hear it. I mean, I'll just tell it like it is. I've done that. You know, I know how to push someone's buttons, and I can be real calm about it, too. So
But let me ask you this question, Erica. You wouldn't do that to a guy who didn't react that way. You know what I mean? It's not like she turned him into something.
Yeah, he's
you're absolutely right. But in this, what I'm saying is that anybody can be taken there. It's not just Mel Gibson that he's got this bad temper. Anybody can be taken there.
I don't think that's true,
Erica. Not to that level.
That isn't true. Honest to God, you could provoke me my entire life. I would never threaten to kill you. I mean, I literally wouldn't.
Let me ask you this, Erica.
Who
what
do you
about
date?
What about Lisa's question? If she's doing it intentionally to piss him off, for what reason?
Exactly what the other caller said. She's got custody issues. She's going to take him for every penny she can. She's going to go for the gusto. It's just like, you know, it's go big or go home.
She's not going to get more money.
The other side. Make sure he doesn't have even anything to do with the child, for instance. Get him as far away from her permanently if possible.
Well, I think that it's just that she's trying to go as far as possible so that, you know, it's just like when you sue somebody, you sue them for the max. You don't be like, oh,
right.
Well,
I got you.
Right.
I get
right.
it for the custody. I still don't understand how this gives her more cash.
It doesn't give her more money than she would have gotten anyway in custody.
And the cat's already out of the bag, so there's no way.
Wait,
it's not like
cat involved?
It's not like he pays more money now to make this go away because it's already out there.
Right.
She's lost that leverage if she were going to blackmail. All right, we only have time for one more. We got some great calls, but let's try Ziggy. Ziggy is on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ziggy, we're going to give you the final word. Go ahead, please.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Ziggy.
First of all, he is possibly the biggest douchebag on the planet.
Correct.
Yeah. Second of all, Erica, that last caller, might be the second biggest douchebag. there is no way. First of all, she obviously provoked him. We got that. But nobody goes where that psycho went. And I do think, actually, she can get more money because there's some damages that can go along with it. But so what? The guy is a psychopath.
Yeah,
he is,
clearly.
I don't know if everyone agrees with you, Ziggy, but I do. My wife runs a foundation for abused women and children, and men who talk to women like this are do unmeasurable damage, immeasurable damage.
Totally,
so
totally.
Take him to the cleaners. I don't care. I think it's great.
Care. Hey, I don't care either.
All right. Ziggy and I are together. Bean?
I hope you're very happy together. I'll send
Ziggy train? No. All right. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:57.
Highlights from last night's ESPY Awards, which, by the way, this year were on ESPN, which I thought was an interesting way to mix it up a little bit. Oh. So that is coming up for you, plus our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky. Straight ahead now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I know you guys love the Hills.
Nope.
And I know you love Spencer Pratt.
Love to hate him.
Much has been made of the fact that he was not invited to the finale of that program, nor was he invited to the super-duper rat party, end of the season celebration.
Right.
He was trying to crash it in his ingenious elderly man disguise.
Very authentic.
Where he had white hair but was basically just Spencer.
Yes. Well, apparently the story gets better. Us Weekly magazine says he was trying to hold his own bash on the Roosevelt Bar earlier in the day. He was trying to have a counter party to what they were doing with the Hills party.
Right.
And he had a bar full of people, and he announced loudly he was buying a drink for everyone in the bar. To which his credit card was quickly declined.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
That's the greatest story ever.
By the way, where's Heidi?
She really did leave him.
I don't know. I'm more worried about Heidi than I am Oksana, to tell you the truth. I mean, it was just weird that on a Hills reunion night, when people like Lauren Conrad, who aren't even on the show anymore, were there, where was Heidi? You'd think that she would have been there.
She didn't get knocked off the show. He did.
Yeah. It's just weird that she's... I'd look under the bed of roses at this point, to tell you the truth.
Eminem has some advice for kids. Us Weekly magazine asked the rapper if he had any advice for his young fans. He said, absolutely. Don't get involved with drugs, gangs, or oil executives.
It's all good advice.
That is excellent advice these days.
If you haven't heard his new CD, by the way, it may be his best.
I've heard that.
It is really amazingly good.
TV news. HBO has given the okay and a full season order for Dustin Hoffman's first TV series in his 40-year career. It'll be called Luck. Dustin plays a gambler who's just released from prison on the show and returns to the world of horse racing. It'll be shot at Santa Anita Park. Place we're vaguely familiar with here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Been there many times. Co-starring with Dustin is Nick Nolte.
Oh, wow.
Who also hasn't done television since his miniseries Rich Man, Poor Man. It was kind of his big break in show business, and that was 34 years ago.
Wow.
I love him so much because he's crazy.
What do you mean by that, convict? I'm not your brother. I'm not your partner. I'm not your friend.
So this is you said it's a series, not a movie, right?
It is a TV series on HBO called Luck.
That's awesome.
Also starring in the series, Dennis Farina, who I enjoy enormously. Very talented actor. Richard Kind, Jason Gedrick. All about the underbelly of the world of horse racing.
Yeah, that's the part that loses me.
Really? You
me
don't
too.
Know? You
don't, I don't think it's very interesting, but they're too good.
You don't
good
know
not
anybody in horse racing then.
Because
those guys are characters.
Are they crazy people?
That is, the people who bet horses, the guys who spend all day, every day at the track, and that whole group of people who do the training and stuff and everything, it is a fascinating, seedy, borderline crazy world. I think it's great subject matter for a series. I think it's going to be excellent. And more TV news. If I don't do this story, Dave has threatened me with bodily harm. Looks like it's official. MTV has announced that Beavis and Butthead are returning to their network.
He was so happy yesterday. Yeah,
now, here's my problem. The reason I didn't really make a big deal out of it, because I know Dave and people like him who are already going, yeah. Stop it. Stop it, Beavis.
Yeah. Cornholio.
That happens a lot.
I don't need to hear that, that
happens
ever.
A lot.
And that happens too much when that show's on the
air.
It does.
That happens too much.
So we're going to get a lot of that coming up. But apparently, Mike Judge will be returning and voicing and writing all the new episodes of Beavis and Butthead.
I thought Dave was just going to die of happiness.
Oh, man. No one's ever been happier about anything.
Well, it would be like Kevin if Jackass came back to TV. You know, he just wouldn't be able to think of anything else.
Why don't you talk about Beavis and Butthead? Like, I don't know, Dave. How do you call him that? And, of course, congratulations to Taylor Swift, who has been nominated into the International Bowling Hall of Fame. Don't want to let that go by, that award go by without
giving her. Is she a good bowler?
I have no idea.
Well, I would guess she would have to be if she's in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I thought
unless
maybe
they have hot bowlers that aren't good.
I just thought maybe she had done a lot to promote the sport or something like that, even though she wasn't personally good at it. I don't know much about Miss Swift and her bowling.
Hmm.
But I'm going to do the research, I tell you that.
Can you do the research off the air?
Ralph brought it up. I'm just asking a follow-up question.
I did it as a punchline. I didn't do it as an in-depth, behind-the-scenes investigative report on whether Taylor Swift bowls or not.
Taylor Swift getting nominated
to the International Bowling Hall of Fame seemed like funny to me.
I'm going to take some time off to investigate this full-time.
Then it's over.
And get back to you.
Take a year.
I want to know more.
You might need a lot of time to really look into it. You might want to crack. You know, I heard they keep their cards pretty close to their vest over there at the bowling.
I may have to go undercover. I may have to learn to bowl and be good enough to become a professional just so I can get in the inner circle.
Good luck with that.
Bean likes curiosity.
He does. He prizes that.
He looks for it in people. Today's celebrity birthdays, Terry O'Quinn of Lost is 58 years old today. Willie Ames from Eight Isn't Up and Charles in Charge celebrates his 50th birthday. Forrest Whitaker, talented actor and director. He is 49 years old. Brigitte Nielsen celebrates her 47th birthday. Brian Austin Green is 37. Diane Kruger,
who
was so good in Inglourious Bastard, she is 34 years old. And Joe Millionaire, one of our favorite reality shows ever. Evan Marriott, who was Joe Millionaire himself, is 36 years old today. And you just know he is digging a ditch someplace. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's just such a shame because Dr. Drew is a guy who worked hard his whole life, his whole career to have such a good reputation. And then just a few short weeks of doing Loveline with Psycho Mike and all of a sudden he's in the crapper. I mean, he can't look at himself in the mirror and be proud of the work they're doing every night now, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Drew, would you consider your career in the crapper?
I don't know.
Even he's bummed out by what happened on Loveline last night. Drew, you're the adult in the room. How do you let them do what they did last night?
You guys have tried to control Mike, haven't you?
Yeah, it's not possible.
Yeah,
it's not possible.
It isn't, no.
It's not possible.
All right, so Mike had... we're going to get to Lindsay Lohan in a second, but this is more important. So Mike had the decorator on last night.
Yes, he did. He was very excited.
Porn star Peter North, who is famous for Volume, Volume, Volume. We can say no more than that, but Mike thought, hey, I'm manly. I'd like to challenge Peter North in the Volume, Volume, Volume category. Mr. North declined to participate, right?
Even he was beyond that.
Right.
Wow.
It's true.
Well, and by the way, what was it? What did he say, Mike?
He said you wouldn't ask Babe Ruth to take batting practice with Little Leaguers.
Which is accurate.
Although Mike had quite a showing. I must tell you.
I was actually pretty proud of myself.
Yeah.
You don't need to know this. Trust me.
We don't. We want less of that information.
Yeah.
But as a professional, don't you say, okay, funny ha-ha bit, but now that Peter North's out, let's not do it anymore. There's no reason to pit Mike with somebody else on the Loveline staff against each other for volume.
Are you planning to do more of this?
No, I'm just saying, why didn't you stop it last night at that point?
The horse was out of the barn. He brought in scales, and then when his scales wasn't sensitive enough, yeah. Tyler ran in with a digital thing, and they were in. I mean, it was already...
Drew, you know what?
By the way, Peter hadn't left yet. He was still there.
Drew, you know what you need? You need a taser. You need to be able to put Mike down at a moment's notice.
The only move I can make is leave the room, but that scared me too.
Yeah, you shouldn't leave the room because then
you're the only adult in the room.
Right. You got to tase him. That's it, man.
Now, Doctor,
a great idea.
Yeah.
Did Mike think that he was somehow manly if he were able to produce more volume than somebody else in the room? And is there any correlation between manliness and volume?
Not really. I mean, no. In fact, Peter North mentioned that he has low testosterone levels.
Really?
Which was kind of surprising.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lisa mentioned off the air, I believe. I don't remember if it was off the air.
No, it was on the air.
That volume is not necessarily what women are looking for.
I could imagine not.
That seems like it would be a negative.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is unpleasant.
If that's not what they're looking for, Mike, wouldn't you agree Gouda is exactly what they would like?
Yes. Phone operator Gouda is perfect for all the ladies. if low volume is what you're looking for.
It's just I can't.
All right. We have many comments we could make, but let's change this distasteful subject into something else.
You were part of it, Dr. Drew.
I lived through it.
All right. Well, not like it's our fault.
The news came out this morning. I guess X17.com is the site that broke the word that Lindsay Lohan has checked into a sober house a few days ahead of being turned into jail next week. Explain to me how someone goes into a sober house before they've gone into rehab, if you can, Dr. Drew.
That's almost impossible. So it must be more of a residential living environment because you really can't do the detox in a sober living. You could, I guess. I mean, there are places that will sort of tolerate that, but it has to be something that has adequate structure, adequate professional supervision, and usually sober livings don't have that.
Sober livings,
as you've seen on the Sober House show, it's just a place where addicts gather together and support each other and live.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like just learning to assimilate again back into society.
Right,
it's sober.
Right, but I got to tell you, you know, the way the insurance industry has been treating addiction, a lot of it is pushed into the residential setting. So probably they're kind of misreporting it. It's probably some kind of residential or sober living that also offers residential care. I mean, Pasadena Recovery Center is technically a residential treatment center.
All right, but let me ask you this, though. The judge said she could take all of that to jail with her.
So all of the medicine? Oh,
yes.
Prescription
that's,
drugs, yeah.
That's the big problem.
Well, so but she, so what's the point of going in now?
There's no point. If she doesn't want to get off the meds, then there's no point. I mean, she's opiates, psychostimulants, benzodiazepines. These things are active addiction. And we've talked about it before on this show that she is, you know, that's a sad situation that doctors are handing her these medications, but it keeps her altered, it keeps her disease active, and maybe much of the reason why we're seeing all the wild behaviors. What she's trying to do, which I think is a great idea, is convince the judge that she's motivated for treatment and consider mandating treatment from the court as opposed to jail. I mean, if I were advocating on her behalf, I'd go in and say, look, judge, she needs a year of treatment. It needs to be intensive, and just require it, and then at the end of the year, we'll see where she's at.
Right, but didn't they already try all of that? The judge said first 90 days and then treatment?
Yeah, no, my point is, though, yes, she's leaning in that direction. My point is, though, hey, forget the jail for 90 days, forget the 90 days of treatment. Let's do a year of treatment, highly restricted, highly monitored, and at the end of that year, I mean, this is what we did for Jessica Sierra, and by the way, if you remember, I had to go down to Florida and advocate for Jessica. That judge was like something out of Smokey and the Bandit. I mean, that guy was scary and disinclined to allow this, and we still convinced him to do it, and Jessica is doing great as a result.
Wow.
We're talking to Dr. Drew Pinsky, of course, the co-host of the Loveline Show. You can also see him on Warren the Ape, which airs Monday nights on MTV at 10:30.
How dare you say it like that, as though it's disdainful.
No. Well, it's the best show ever.
It's not the top of your resume, doctor.
It's
that's all great, I'm suggesting.
It's a very good show. It's very funny, though.
I know we've talked about this in the past in reference to Lindsay, and I know that you have been very outspoken about how these prescription drugs are being handed out like candy these days, not just in Hollywood, but all across the United States. I heard something on the radio, Dr. Drew, that just blew my mind. Of course, I live in the state of Washington. They just came out with a study yesterday or data yesterday that said that prescription overdoses, deaths in this state have increased by 90% over the last 10 years.
Yeah, and there's no hint that things are going to turn the other way. I mean, there is.
And that, you're not talking about illegal heroin. You're talking about doctor prescriptions.
What my profession has not really come to terms with yet is that it's medicine taken as prescribed that is the problem. It's not bad patients misusing the medicine. It's the stuff we are giving them that they are accumulating, getting from multiple sources, slowly stepping up to the point where they finally die, or their disease does kick in at the end, like with my friend DJ AM, who really died of prescription medication.
Right.
They'll sort of torch out at the end there a little bit when their disease flares out of control. But it always happens that way. Even if it's stable for years, it is inevitable that it progresses.
And you see, but when you see DJ AM and you see Heath Ledger and you see some of these other high profile ones, why doesn't that make others in your field go, wow, we have to get more stringent standards so that we can have a database so that multiple doctors can't be prescribing prescriptions to the same patient?
Because being therein lies the rub, because that's not the problem. The problem is our understanding as physicians of what this disease is. Yes, we need to monitor better, and there is movement in that direction, but I'll go on the record and say that won't solve the problem. The problem is we don't train physicians to understand addiction, identify addiction, understand how to deal with it once they get into trouble with a patient. We actually have the contrary epistemology out there, which is that we need to give people with opiate addiction and pain more medicine.
How dumb does Psycho Mike feel sitting next to Dr. Drew every night when you listen to this guy talk? Seriously.
Mike is a genius, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
he proved it last night. Not only just a genius, but a man of great passion.
He tells us that every day.
All right. Check your local listings for Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike. Loveline airs nationally across this great country of ours. Dr. Drew, always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. And it is 9:43.
Why is there random yelling going on? What's happening here?
Yeah, yeah. Ralph.
I don't know. Just,
what will you do if I don't?
Just picking the energy up in the room. That's all.
Just yelling for the fun of it.
Wake everybody up a little bit. Come on,
we're
people.
We're awake, man. We're here. We're ready.
We're in the home stretch now, man. We can see the finish line. Just got to sit through your boring-ass showbiz beat to get there.
Oh, what?
No, he didn't.
I'll walk out right the F now. think I want to be here with you?
I don't see
look,
the
there's,
There's no bigger Ralph Garman fan than I am. You know
well,
that.
That's true.
I kid because I love.
That's true.
Here's a movie that, on the surface, sounds like a bad idea.
Okay.
Let me give you the surface.
All right.
Disney has announced they are doing a live-action Tinkerbell movie.
Okay.
Live-action romantic comedy.
Okay.
Where Tinkerbell comes to the real world and finds herself a boyfriend. The magic little fairy Tinkerbell from Peter Pan.
Okay.
Tinkerbell.
Right.
In a romantic comedy.
Yes.
On the surface?
That's the surface.
Bad, right?
Sounds
seems
like
bad.
Once Upon a Time a little bit.
What if I told you Tinkerbell is going to be played by Elizabeth Banks?
Then,
now how do you feel?
Oh, that's good.
Oh.
Now I'm in.
Oh, I want her in that little Ivy outfit with those little wings. And I want to keep her in a jar. And then I want to fill the jar up.
Oh,
with, you know,
man.
Whatever fairies eat.
Now,
fairy food.
Look, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but when I talked to Elizabeth Banks that time, didn't I bring that up with her? Don't you guys remember when we had her on?
I remember you asking her about a film
earlier.
It was
about a movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was about a film earlier in her career. I think it was Slither you brought up.
I thought it was
Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell
movie.
Let's go to the tape.
Can we check the tape?
We'd love to.
Oh, man.
What? Not enough vamp time for you?
You're going to have to give us a little time. We don't know what file it's in.
Well, let me think. You talked to Elizabeth Banks, because I remember that.
Right.
And then I don't think we brought the new movie, though. I think it was just a film that she made early in her career called Slither, earlier in her career. No, still nothing, huh?
Nope.
All right. I'm glad this new system is working out so well for everybody.
We have a new system in the studio, and
it's lightning fast. You guys bitched and moaned to get this thing put in place for a year.
This is operator error, though. This is not the system. This is us.
I felt like I gave them enough time.
Yeah.
I really I felt like the setup was adequate.
I don't have all day. I really don't.
Organized.
I got to move forward.
What happened?
I need a file cabinet.
Nice, touching way to say goodbye to Woody and Buzz and Slinky Dog and Mr. Potato and everybody else in the Toy Story clan, right? Toy Story 3, the last of the trilogy?
Yeah.
Right.
Beautiful.
Where we sort of said goodbye and Andy went off to college and we all sort of... had a tear in our eyes. We ended the trilogy.
And it was well done.
Well done.
So,
you want to go out on a high note?
Sure.
Oh, wait a minute. Toy Story 4.
What?
Just announced Tim Allen has signed on for Toy Story 4.
Will it be another 10 years?
I don't know. But Disney, as you can imagine, and Pixar, so pleased with the smash hit Toy Story 3 that they were already working on 4. So it looks like we're not saying goodbye to our toy friends after all.
This is one of those rare cases where the movie was not only a huge moneymaker, but by all accounts was brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
So
and
good.
I didn't expect it to be nearly as good
as it. But we're going to have to wait until it's 4D, whenever that comes around. Whatever
4D?
That is. That's when it'll come
out. You actually travel through time as you're watching the movie?
Yes.
Should be good stuff. Speaking of movies, Ryan Reynolds apparently hurt his shoulder during filming of The Green Lantern this week. Wuss. Insiders say he separated his shoulder.
That can be very painful. Have you ever separated your shoulder?
I dislocated my shoulder.
Yeah.
I don't hear about it being separated. My shoulder divorced my body. That's how separated my shoulder was. My shoulder sued my body for alimony. Lived in another apartment for a while.
Separating can be just as painful.
No.
All right.
Have we ever done the call-in topic of the most painful thing that ever happened to you?
No, but that's easy.
What do you mean it's easy? It's different for everyone, depending on what happened to them.
For me, it's easy. Pitching baseball, hardball, line drive balls.
To your nuts, yeah.
Ouch.
That's easy for you. I think Bean's point is that everyone has had
no one had more pain than that, ever.
Well, I dislocated my shoulder playing football, and I was in the emergency room with my shoulder hanging off my back. It had moved under the skin of my body. So if I turned to look at my right shoulder, there was just void space at the end of my clavicle.
That's...
And the shoulder part, the arm, the part that you call your arm,
right.
That's connected. You know the part you use to hold stuff and lift things up, the arm?
It's attached to the elbow and the hand?
No, it was attached to my back. It was back by my shoulder blade. That's where the arm was.
It seems like worse than dislocation.
Not supposed to be there.
How'd you do that? Is it a car accident or something?
No, it was a playing football.
Football.
It was a total dislocation, a complete dislocation of my shoulder.
Never heard of one that bad.
And you made it a bloodbath.
And they said, we need to take some x-rays before we put that back in. I was like, no, you don't. Just do it. No, we need to get x-rays. We need to get some film because we don't know what kind of damage you could have done. So I'm sitting in the emergency room with my arm hanging off my back.
I'd say
for like 90 minutes.
Oh, my God. Didn't the leather jacket keep it in place? How dare you?
Oh, that was funny.
So I'm laying on there, and they say, okay, we got you. Finally got the X-ray room ready for you. They put me face down on the gurney.
Yes.
Oh, this hurts so much.
And the nurse that is carrying my arm, because they have to carry it separately, tries to put it on the side of the gurney, and it falls off the gurney.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. It was completely separate?
No, it wasn't removed.
All right, well, I'm saying,
I didn't bring it in a bucket of ice. They never reattached.
It's on the floor?
No, but because rolling you all away? The tendons and everything had been stretched out, it was literally under the skin behind my back.
Oh, man.
So they had to hold it separately while I was face down on the gurney as they took me into the X-ray room.
Wow.
So they tried to rest it on the side of the gurney, but it slipped off.
Oh.
And fell forward and popped itself back into place.
Oh, you're kidding.
So they said, well, no point in getting x-rays now. It's already back in.
Oh.
So I waited that 90 minutes for naught, for nil, for zip, for buscus.
And then it accidentally got put back in? That's so weird.
No, the gravity of my arm falling off the gurney swung the arm forward, and the gravity pulled it down and popped it back
into
place.
You're like, I don't need you doctors. I'll do it myself.
Ruff, why wasn't that enough of an emergency that you wouldn't have to wait 90 minutes to get you into that room?
Because they had to free up the X-ray room. The X-ray room was being used by people who needed X-rays.
Wow.
Which in an emergency room is a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right.
Next week, let's do this call-in. Because I was in a car accident and had two broken legs and a dislocated hip at the same time.
Oh.
And that wasn't the most painful thing that ever happened to me.
Oh.
Really?
So we gotta talk about that.
No,
tube
is nothing.
I'm not saying it hurt as much as Kevin getting hit in the ball, you know, balls with the nuts. With the ball, I mean, I'm not saying that.
Well, the thing is, you can't compare. You know, nobody knows what your pain is.
Exactly,
we can't compare the pain.
Yours sounds worse.
It was bad. I was like hallucinating and losing my mind, sweating, but like white and pale and sort of going into shock. It was horrific.
See, people are already emailing. I'll give you your dislocated shoulder. What about kidney stones, mother effer? I mean, everybody's got their story. Everybody's got their pain.
I'm not trying to win here. I'm just telling the story, man. Tell those kidney stone people to step off. Getting all up in my face with their stones.
Oh.
It's not the first time you've had stones there.
First a leather jacket, and now the stones in the face. Today's celebrity birthdays. Terry O'Quinn from Lost is 58 years old today. Willie Ames, 8 is enough. Charles in Charge, and of course, Bible Man. He is 50 years old today. Forrest Whitaker, actor and director, is 49. Brigitte Nielsen is 47 years old. Brian Austin Green celebrates his 37th birthday. And Diane Kruger from Inglourious Basterds and from Troy, she celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning's program is way too much. I see us doing a poor job of pulling this off. Because
we may have to start in 20 minutes. We've got so much. We can't even wait till tomorrow to get going.
We have Leonardo DiCaprio.
Who's coming?
Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay. I didn't say any better the second time today.
But you said it differently,
should
man,
I try it
which
again?
Was good.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
There we go.
The kid from Growing Pains. That's
slow
who we're
down
about.
A bit. Ralph's going to talk to you about Inception. How about that?
Yeah,
Ralph
I saw Inception, and we're going to talk about his new film.
We have Adam Carolla tomorrow because it's Friday.
Yeah.
We have Olivia Munn tomorrow. We have Rob Dyrdek talking about Fantasy Factory.
Rob who?
You heard me. And we have the movie beat, and we have the double rainbow guy.
Yeah.
We're talking to Bear himself? Yosemite Bear?
Yes.
Great.
And Bean values curiosity. Strangely, is I'm looking forward to more than any of the other stuff. All right,
damn it, man. Is there anything you don't know?
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
That's how I feel when I realize Cat Corbett is coming up next, too, Mel, with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Phoenix, also Green Day. We got Rise Against and the new one from Bush right after this one.